Okay, we are recording. We have Dave Donaldson on the phone. He can't vote, but he is going to weigh in.
Yep, here I am.
We're going to call the meeting to order 7:04. Thanks, everybody. Next month, we'll be back to our regular time. I just had wrestling practice tonight, and I couldn't get out. The other coaches had a meeting to go to, so I had to be there. Okay. First thing we're going to do is approve the minutes from November 17th and December 15th, our last two meetings.
I don't know that we can do that, can we?
Yes, we're good.
Dave can't vote.
We've got you, Mannequin, we've spoken.
Okay.
Or we could just wait till Kevin gets here, too.
Well, he can add his name as a yes.
Okay. All right.
You know, you can still, even if he's late, you can still vote on him. Okay. The meeting's still open. He can still vote on him, so...
The
whatever you two guys want, I don't care.
That the minutes of November 17th and December 15th were approved as either distributed or as corrected, depending on what you do.
I didn't make any corrections. I was fine with them. The one is Richard Archer.
Could I get a copy of them? I never saw them.
Okay.
If you could send them, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay.
And Chairman Parity?
Well, you had seen the November one because in our December meeting we held off. We held off voting on it. Okay. You had seen the November one. Because in the December meeting, everybody was on board, but somebody wasn't here, so we said, let's wait a month. So, but nobody had an issue with them. Okay.
I would also ask everybody to sign in, so I have your names for the...
All in favor of approving the minutes for November 17th and December 15th? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We think it's carried 3-0. I said Laurent didn't vote either.
And Chairman Perry is
here
too.
Doesn't matter. You don't have to be here.
You don't have to have been here.
Okay.
I looked up Robert. We looked it up in Robert's room.
Do you know when we vote and
I'm comfortable with approving minutes, but I wasn't here for
legislative round.
I've always been that way.
When we're in a legislative meeting, one of our first orders of business is to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. Do we say the legislators that weren't here the previous meeting can't vote?
No, but I've never missed a legislative meeting, so I've
been
part of that. So.
Okay, we're going to go on to Resolution 367, setting a public hearing on proposed Local Law 14, a local law entitled a local law establishing a tobacco retail license and reducing youth exposure to tobacco, to be held on Tuesday, March 17th at 7 p.m.
I'll move it.
St. Patty's Day.
Second.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, Legislator Ronk?
I just want to publicly say thank you to Legislator Provenzano and our minority counsel, Erica Guerin, and Tracy Steve from the county attorney's office. Everybody worked really, really hard to settle some concerns with this. I think that everybody is in agreement with trying to... minimize youth exposure to tobacco. I'm still not 100% convinced that this does that, but anything that's a step in the right direction is a good thing. So.
Okay.
That's all.
Yes, thank you. I just came from the Health and Social Services Committee meeting, and the chair of the committee and members have put their names on as sponsors, and I also want to talk about my appreciation to the work that Erica and Tracy and a lot of concerns and a lot of members have, I think, have been addressed. Ellen is here tonight with us, and there's a number of different counties that have already adopted this smoking area down in schools. I think it was Newburgh.
Did everyone get the article about the city of Newburgh?
I had read it on,
online. Yeah.
Well, I get the record.
It was very exciting. They, worked with the community, and they worked with everyone to adjust it a little bit. There's grandfathering in now, the retailers, which they weren't going to before. But they do have a fee associated with the license. And they are going to see how long they're going to, these retailers can be grandfathered in. So all that's kind of still an adjustment. Dutchess County has a license. You probably know that as well. Mm-hmm. I brought along their permit that they have for their tobacco retailers. They sent this to me, and this is what Dutchess County does. So they're next door, you know. We also have Cayuga County. They also have a license in place. Schenectady is looking at it very closely right now. Buffalo is looking at it. So it's really starting to take, you know, its course. It's really up there. And it's all about the kids. It's all about trying to reduce exposure to tobacco marketing, to reduce youth smoking. So it's works. The Surgeon General has come out and said that. So I thank you very much for all your work on this.
So I'm going to sell more lottery tickets now to make up for the revenue. So I'll have kids gambling instead of smoking.
Well, no, if I could.
Sure, let's. I'm kidding.
Just, you know, and this is, you know, related to this in a cursory way. I think that, you know, we're taking what is a legal activity and we're banning it here, we're banning it there, we're banning the sale here, banning the sale there. I think that we should just get it over with and outlaw smoking altogether, outlaw cigarettes altogether, but the government won't do that because of all the tax revenue they get.
Well, then maybe we should not take the tax revenue from smoking if we really believe that. That would be the next step.
We don't have the ability to do that, as we've seen many a times in a county with only one incorporated city. The city of Kingston has preemption on our sales tax, and we can't do any changes without them doing it first.
Just one comment about that. It is a legal activity, however, for anyone under 18.
I agree.
That's what we're talking about, really, and that's what we're trying to. That's why, with the limit about school zones, school areas, and about limiting youth exposure, and that's what we're talking about.
It's already illegal to smoke when you're to smoke cigarettes when you're under 18, and it's illegal to purchase cigarettes for somebody when they're under 18. So, we're just, you know. As a conservative, I think that stacking laws on top of laws on top of laws doesn't necessarily make more law abiding. It just makes more law breakers.
Can I ask a quick question on this law? And I didn't find it. And it was my
voting for it.
Yeah, I'm going to vote. I'm voting for it too. But it was my only concern is that when the establishment, the store, the retail store, submits the application to the health department. It says they are not allowed to sell tobacco products until the license is issued. My question is, pistol permits are legal, but there were judges in Ulster County not signing off on them, so people were waiting 2 or 3 years or longer to get pistol permits. Is there anything in this law that says if the retailers have all the documentation in place, their application is correct, does the county have to get them their license within 30 days, 45 days? I mean, I didn't see that written in the law.
The answer is simple and sure, yeah.
It's in the law? You've seen it?
There's a process that before the law is effective, 45 days before, the department has to send the application to all the existing vendors.
Right, but it didn't say when they have to approve it by. I didn't see that. Meaning they could say, well, we're getting around to it, and then the person can't sell them on the first of the year.
It doesn't say.
Right.
I mean, the thing with the Section 5, the notice section, I mean...
Hey, Rich.
No, somebody's talking. Hang on 1 second, Liz Donaldson.
You know, in an effort to avoid that, we did put in there that 45 days prior to the effective date of the law.
I saw all that.
Right.
Now, also, though, they can dispute.
Can you put me in your...
Sorry.
They're within 1,000 feet, they can dispute. They must do that.
No, but in the meantime, they don't have a license that they can't sell. If they...
So there's no before the effective date of the law.
I know.
They would be...
I'm not trying to argue with you. All I'm saying is if somebody in the health department decides to say, you know what, we're not going to really be in a hurry about this, and it's a law-abiding establishment, do they have to stop selling them on the first to wait for their permit to come in the mail? That's all I'm asking. I didn't see anything that said that the health department has to get their permit to them in a timely basis.
There's nothing in there.
So that somebody could sit on it. If an executive or the health commissioner decided that they didn't want to do this.
Maybe we could make an amendment to address that.
Just to say yes or no. You're denied for this reason, or yes,
I mean,
it's approved. And
if that's what you know, if you
listen, I'm not going to vote against it. It just to
no,
me.
No, but if you want to make
to me, somebody can interpret this law we're passing differently and be like judges. Some judges do not sign pistol permits, even though it's a legal thing in New York State.
I agree with you. So as a sponsor, you know, we'll make
okay,
that
that's
amendment
fine.
And we'll make sure that that's in there.
Okay.
All right.
Because you know what's going to happen? We're all going to get phone calls if it does happen.
All right. Well, that's a good point. thank you.
Okay.
And also, just one other point. All the places that Ellen mentioned that already passed this law, they charge a fee for the license, and we don't.
Right. I saw that.
All right. Thank you very much.
Let Legislator Donaldson go quick, and then you. He was one seat. Legislator Donaldson.
Yes, yes. I have the only problem I have with the resolution is that, I mean, it's well-intended, but I don't see it accomplishing a lot. I really think the best way to do this would be to actually regulate the way they advertise everywhere. Any place that anybody under 18 can buy a candy and they sell cigarettes there, then they're advertising and they can't, you know, they basically can't broadcast their advertising in the windows and, you know, all that. They can sell them, but you know what? That, you know, they're still legal. They can still sell them, but the point of the resolution, I believe, is to lower the exposure. And I don't know that's happening all that much.
Okay. Okay. Legislator Bartels.
It was just a follow-on question, thank you, to Legislator Provenzano. When you talk about the fee, would the county be allowed to charge a fee sometime down the road, or it's just we're not right now? I mean,
no.
The law prohibits
it. From one day charging a fee.
I thought the law prohibited it.
Yeah.
I thought the law prohibited it.
But what she's saying, I think, if I could, is that we could amend the law in the future to try.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right now, the law prohibits a fee. It's my understanding.
Certainly, it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, these retailers do pay a state fee. So, you know, after a while, how much? If they all stop selling them, I'd be fine with it. But at the end of the day, if it is illegal, then they're doing. How much is enough? Okay, who had their hand? I'm sorry. I knew.
I am Cheryl Capello from the Ulster Prevention Council. And prevention science is what I do. It's what I know. And in terms of stopping kids from smoking, this, you know, for youth smoking prevention, there's so much research to back this up that it's very dose-related. The more that youth are exposed to tobacco, whether it's in person, on TV, but especially this marketing in person, it's extremely dose-related. So the more they're exposed to it, the more effect that it does have. And there are research-based outcomes that show that it's an effective strategy. So it's not just kind of a, I know what less, you know, maybe this will work. It's a really got a lot of evidence.
Okay, no, that's great. Was it around?
To that point, one of the questions that I had to Erica and the way she had answered it to me, the question that I had was, let's say there's a ball field that's owned by the school that they play modified JV and varsity sports on, but it's not contiguous with the school grounds where the physical school building is. That, to me, would be where you want to ban, you know, within 1,000 feet of the ball field or the playground or something of that nature, because that's the kind of place that kids would tend to congregate after school. Kids, you know, at schools nowadays, especially nowadays, you're not having a lot of people who are, you know, allowed to roam within 1,000 feet of the school building during the school day. But you're going to have a lot more kids leaving from a ball field, have their kids pick them up from a ball field, or walking from a ball field.
Yeah, the kind of the where this was drafted is 1,000 feet from the nearest point of the property line to the retail location. So the ball fields would be on the school property. There was an exception built in where the commissioner could hear an appeal, and that you could have a situation where, you know, that a retailer might be 1,000 feet from a school geographically, but it might be a gorge between them. They might be on top of the hill, and the school's at the bottom, and there's no road. So
there's no contiguity necessary with the school building. Let's say the ball field is 6 miles from the middle school or the high school.
School property line of the school is where that's drafted. But then we built it, you know, built an exception where the commissioner could look at a case by case basis and say, you know what, it's within 1,000 feet, but there's a gorge between the retailer and there's not a traffic issue.
So one thing about that is of the ball fields, is it a park? You know, a lot of ball fields are in parks. I know Lauren Park is behind my house, and there's a ball field there. All the parks, every municipality except for the town of Ulster has a parks and playgrounds policy for no smoking. Yep. So,
but not no selling. That's the point of this.
Oh, the point of this. Oh, okay.
Can I just address that?
Please.
Because I've read a lot of these local laws written in all, not just in New York, but all over the country. And I think this one boils down to if the ball field is on the school property, like Miller, or for those who are familiar, you know, if the ball field is part of the school property, mm-hmm. yes, it would be included. If it's not owned by the school or not on school property, then no, it wouldn't be included. However, there are local laws that are written that are more expansive than this to include playgrounds, mm-hmm. you know, ball
right.
fields that aren't owned by schools. But we decided to focus in on the school. So I think the short answer is if the ball field's not owned by the school or not owned, you know, not on school property, then no, it doesn't fall under this law.
How about deep streets?
Who owns the school?
City of Kingston and the school. Don't they both?
But it's not on the school.
They
path.
Both? I don't think. Okay.
It's jointly owned. But it's owned by the city and the school. But it would count as school property then. It's not, but it says school. In the public or private kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, junior high school, high school.
There's no place for
it.
There's no place within 1,000 feet that sells cigarettes
right.
there anyway.
I don't think.
The diner?
No. The alcohol place.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, but this is owned by the city of Kingston.
And the school district. They jointly own it.
So, no, I don't think the commissioner would have the authority to decide that, but my reading of the statute is that.
Wouldn't
do. If the school owns it,
the school jointly owns it. City also owns it.
You know what? This law is going to primarily be for City of Kingston and the villages. I mean, a lot of areas
primarily.
That's more rural. I mean, Boyceville's got a couple, maybe Phoenicia.
Is it just something I wanted to put? You wouldn't include
no. If a school closes, the map then would obviously be changed.
If a school closes, and the way this is revised is so that the commissioner has the authority. The map isn't controlling, but if a school closes, then presumably there are already retailers that existed that would have a license and they could continue selling.
Right, right.
And then if a new retail license, you know, if a new outlet wanted to build and there's no school, then they're going to be able
right.
to apply and license. Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't even have to go through the county. They just go through the state.
This doesn't only apply to schools.
Everybody.
This applies.
Oh, we're now licensing
everyone.
Oh, geez, I thought for some reason it was just in the school district.
I thought it was just
people within businesses within 1,000 feet of the school. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, that's fine.
We'll go to the floor and have a public hearing.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. I didn't read it right. For some reason, I thought it was just, that's why we're getting the maps of the schools and everything. Legislative Bartels.
I definitely think this is, you know, it's ready to go to a public hearing. We've been talking about it for a while, but I think that Legislator Ron brings up a good point in terms of,
and I would love to see one of those more inclusive laws. Like, I appreciate the, especially how controversial it was to even get to this point, if we had been more expansive to start, but the concept of being more expansive may be something that, you know, we should be thinking of down the road. Like, let's get this one going and then
Concern, it says the nearest school property line, correct? The concern that I have is the way that Erica interpreted it, because, you know, in the definitions in the beginning, school means a public or private kindergarten, elementary, middle, junior, or high school. Or a board of cooperative educational services center. So that would say to me that the nearest school property line would be the nearest property line on which the school is located. So it wouldn't be a non-contiguous ball field owned by the school district.
Would you support something more expansive? Is that where you're going?
I would say that if we're going to do it, let's do it right. I mean, I'm not necessarily on board with doing it 100%, but if we're going to do it, I mean, that to me is where you have more of an opportunity for children to be interact. I'm not saying we do it in every park and every this and every that, because you won't be able to sell cigarettes anywhere, ever. And if that's what we want to do, let's just ban it altogether. No more cigarettes in Ulster County, but we're not doing that. But
again, this doesn't ban the sale of cigarettes. It just caps.
I understand.
Can I ask a question? I believe in it the way it is. You know, if down the road you feel you want to amend it and...
No, I'm not saying. I'm just, as I was talking to Erica, and we, the way we talked about this now is different than the way we talked about it 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, we're going to call a question. Can I ask a quick question, or Kathy, you want to go?
I just wanted to point one thing out. I've spoken very briefly to you about, very briefly to Erica, on page 8.
Page what?
Page 8. Red line.
Red line?
Yeah.
Okay. There is no page 8.
Yeah, there is no page 8.
There's, it goes from 7 to 9, though.
I have 8.
I don't have any.
Yeah. County of Ulster.
Sorry about that. Really?
Or for violation of any federal state. It's right above section 9. Give me
section
8.
Section 9.
Sorry.
Section 9.
Essential services to be printed in color. I apologize.
We just wanted to point out. Certainly something that is just incredibly technical from a criminal law and administrative law. Suspended for up to 3 months for first offense. You might not have the
I'm sorry, we sent these to Central Services to be copied today, and I didn't double check that they every page in it. You want me to?
Can you print that?
You want me to go print?
I just wanted to point out that.
Print page 8.
What it says. Shall have their tobacco retail licenses suspended for up to 3 months for a first offense, up to 6 months, but it doesn't have a minimum. In other words, up to 3 months technically from somebody, which is like I do, could mean 4.5 minutes. It doesn't mean no. It has to be, the license has to be suspended. It's mandatory. The only thing I would bring up or mention is that in most cases, administrators, commissioners, or judges don't like mandatory minimums because they might say, well, you know, in this case, there was an exception or there was a reason where I might like to fine them instead. It is still legally sound. I just wanted to bring that up, that in general, a lot of times administrators or judges don't want their hands tied and might say, you know what, in this case, I think a $250 fine would be appropriate, or a warning might be appropriate. So, but it's still legally sound. It's just something I wanted to bring.
Can I ask you a quick question? I mean, I understand it's for the school zones and 1,000 feet. If the state licenses everybody, why does the county want to be in business of licensing a retailer that's 5 miles from a school? I just don't see the purpose of it.
Okay, and I get that. And if I could,
okay, sure.
Because I've done a lot of reading about this and why this particular local licensing is a recommended strategy. And it gives the county, it gives a local enforcement mechanism. Yes, there are state laws. Yes, there are federal laws. And yes, we already, to a certain extent, enforce those. But if a retailer violates the current state law, this law would give the county the ability to control how those laws are enforced and say to retailers who might be persistent violators of it, okay, you violated state, federal, local law, now county chooses to say you don't get to sell tobacco in our county anymore. It's really, in addition to the exposure, it is a local enforcement mechanism.
You know, I understand what you're saying, but here's my issue with it. One, a Marbletown retailer got a $1,000 fine a few years ago, and I know the sheriff's department did stings with 17, 16-year-old kids. So there is an enforcement mechanism in place now, and there are fines, and things can happen. My issue is, what if a retailer has 4 employees who hate the owner and decide to sell to minors all the time? You're hurting... I know we can say whatever, but, you know, a lot of times there are youth that are selling them because they're low-paying jobs. They can be low-paying jobs. It's, you know, it just seems to me this law, and now that it's going to be countywide, is putting a little bit too much or a lot too much power in the Commissioner of Health's hands, where they can actually close a business down when maybe it was a couple of rotten apple employees. And what is the mechanism for getting their license back, even after three or four offenses, if it turns out that they were 16 or 17-year-old kids selling tobacco? Or 19-year-old kids.
I mean, that's on the owner then. I mean, if you don't have a responsible
person. It's always easy.
That's why the training.
Well, I mean, that's the training point. If they're your employees, you let them know that this is not to be tolerated. I will be fined for this, and it's part of.
But how many times do they have to get caught in a second offense within a 2-year period?
Third.
A third offense, right?
And that's.
That's fine. Listen, I just don't think it should be countywide. Because to me, it's just going to lead to, just like other things do, somebody in the health department interpreting it their own way, and being then next thing you know, we're going to get calls as legislators because retailers are going to be getting maybe, I don't want to say harassed, but certainly the rules are going to be a lot different. And, you know, let's just ban smoking in the county. Why don't we do that? And refuse the tax revenue. That's, to me, that's stepping up to the plate.
Which I appreciate.
Right? I mean, we all want the money.
Your thoughts on this.
Want to tell them what to do, but we'll take their money.
I'm asking that this finally, after about 3 months and a lot of work between the minority and the council here, Tracy, that you allow to go to a public hearing.
It's fine. I'm not.
That's all I'm asking for. I'm not trying to change your mind or convince you what is good and what is bad, because it depends on how you personally. For me, I've said it before. In fact, I said it a couple times. For me, I can't think of a better legacy to leave as a legislator that I've helped, however small it might be, to stop one kid. When you start reading and you see films and you see the advertisements on television of people that are addicted to smoking and what it causes, I mean, it's heartbreaking. So this, if people follow the law, there's no problem. And if it's because of a young person working for you, there's plenty of opportunity, there's training.
I'm fine with it.
So I'm just asking you to please let it go to a public.
I mean, sometimes we forget people invest a lot of money in businesses, and sometimes good people maybe make a mistake or two. And the way this law is written, the Commissioner of Health can take away their livelihood. It's easy to sit here to do that, but.
But I will tell you, we were very, my son and I made sure that we talked to our employees and what we expected from them. And if they didn't perform, they weren't there.
Yeah, and then you got somebody else that maybe did it again a month later, and you realize, geez, I hired the wrong person twice now. And that's your fault? Then I guess it's your fault. That's the attitude legislators want to have? Then that's fine.
I have more respect for our younger people than that. I think that's the right thing.
And then we're going to call the question.
You know how I feel about smoking. I mean, outlawed. Then nobody's at a disadvantage. Now, maybe I missed something in all this. But if a youngster goes and buys it or gets it from somebody, what's the penalty to them? Nothing. Maybe they should be arrested.
Yeah, that's true.
But we all don't want to mess with
it. It's always somebody else's fault, not the person that's doing it.
Public hearing, Jeanette.
She's right.
I have multiple. If I have a vote, I'll vote yes. I'm not sure about everything else. There's no penalty for the lad going down the street smoking. Let's arrest him. Let's figure out what the hell's going on here. This is well-meaning. Like, I thought I was well-meaning when I lectured my own kids like you did. Your own children. And your grandchildren. And we, in our own family, feel we were pretty successful with it because, as far as we know, none of them are playing with the stuff.
He just drank.
But I just raised that. This is another issue. Why is there no... if a kid gets caught speeding, he gets a ticket. If he doesn't have a license, he gets a penalty.
Is there a position to do that?
Why don't,
Can we find the kids' parents if they're a minor? Can we find their parents?
Rhetorically speaking.
Yeah.
The social smoke law.
I have a question. Is it all that different from selling beer to an underage person?
No, but if you're drinking beer underage, you get arrested.
Yes.
You get a ticket.
But can you sell...
You can get arrested for selling beer to a minor as well.
Well, where I'm trying to explore the analogy is that does the young salesperson get in trouble,
yes,
or does the owner get
the
in trouble?
The owner. Both.
Young salespeople cannot sell
alcohol.
If you are underage, you have it in your possession. You
get a ticket.
You have to be, I believe, 21 to sell liquor.
No.
No?
There has to be somebody 21 in a place, when you sell it.
Well, yeah, and every place I've been, you have to have somebody approval.
You can go to, I go to Emmanuel's, and there's 16-year-old kids there, and you can buy a 12-pack of beer. The waitresses are 19 or 20 years old, and there has to be somebody in the establishment over 21.
I think it ought to get
believe
a public hearing. If it sorts itself out, it sorts itself.
Okay, legislative work tells them we're going to vote.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I also feel like we're losing sight of the fact that this is also about limiting, you know, by grandfathering, limiting the number of establishments within a designated area. I mean, that's something we're all talking about, the fines in terms of breaking the law. There's already fines that exist. There's already mechanisms. There's already things. This might give us a mechanism to have some enforcement from the county, but it also is an effective way to limit the number of establishments within 1,000 feet of a school zone, and I think that's what you're speaking to in terms of exposure, because right, we can't right now, I mean, we can buck the system and attempt to do something like outlaw cigarettes or outlaw advertising, but we would come pretty quickly against constitutional issues, and maybe as a legislature we'd be ready to fight it and be on the national news, and maybe that's what we decide to do. And, you know, we might all get behind that and say, okay, we're going to be the little county that rocks a very, very big boat. But short of that, one way to limit the exposure is by limiting the places within a radius that children or young people can actually have the opportunity to be exposed in. So that's something
I have to respond to that, because if that's your point, it makes a big difference. I'm personally opposed to moratoriums. They don't have moratorium on liquor licenses, because I would be worth $1 million today if nobody else in Boyceville could sell liquor or sell beer and wine. 35 years ago, there was a big movement by people in the industry to limit the liquor licenses and limit the restaurant licenses. And the point should be, if this stuff is no good, don't sell it and the customers don't come in. But to give me a monopoly on it or some sort of a thing where nobody can come in and compete with me, I don't think that's the right approach.
Okay, last.
I promise this is the last thing I'll say. I also think that we're building a humongous value into these people's businesses, those who will be grandfathered into these zones, because they will be the only people throughout from now to the, you know, until that we can. Right, exactly. I just, you know, we're really increasing the value of certain people's businesses. If that's, you know, I'm not saying it's a reason not to do it. I'm just saying it's something that should be said and thought about.
Who was the question?
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 5-0.
I just want to make a comment, and just to be sure that the two outstanding issues get addressed either before or at the public hearing, and that is the need for a minimum. Right.
The turnaround time for when somebody applies.
Yeah, those two things. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay. Resolution 453, establishing a policy for the attendance of conferences and educational training by officers, employees, of Ulster Park. Legislator Ron, we're on your resolution.
Mine? Excellent.
Okay, 453. Okay. Any questions? Legislator Rung.
I think that that all departments that aren't specifically
we have a motion?
I'll move it.
Thank you. Okay, second? I'll second it. Okay.
I've been in the belief the whole time, been on the record on this, that all departments not specifically mentioned in the charter as approving their own travel should be included, which to me would include the departments in the executive branch. So I think that you know, singling out just a few departments headed by elected officials is not the best way to go about this. So if it were me, I would remove the exemption for the employees in the executive branch and then move forward.
Which result is that?
There's a couple.
May I say something?
Sure.
I somewhat agree with Legislator Rock.
Oh.
But my point in this is that, you know what, we elected officials get elected and they have particular budgets that they're running, and we okay those budgets. We have the power to eliminate any and all travel if we wish, just through the budget.
That's not true.
Oh, I mean, sure we do. We could eliminate the budget. We can eliminate those pieces of the budget. We could vote them out.
No.
So, I mean, the point is that this was done for, let's face reality. It was done for the controller because they didn't like that he went to too many conferences. But we can cut his budget, and we did last year about conferences. So the idea that, you know, you're going to micromanage any department, in their travel, I mean, I understand you should have certain policies in line, but sometimes you just go a little too far. I mean, these people are elected. They're elected to do their job, and hopefully part of their job is to go to conferences at points, and hopefully they don't abuse that. And if they do abuse that, they get brought to the attention of the press and everybody else, along with the idea that we have the ability to cut that part, those pieces of the budget.
Okay, Legislator Rock.
Thanks. To Legislator Donaldson's point, we could remove conference attendance from a particular department or elected official's budget, but they also have the right under our charter to move money around inside the department, so they could take money from their other fees for professional services line or unfilled position benefits lines or other parts of their budget into conference attendance. And they have the sole authority, as long as it's approved by the Commissioner of Finance, but I believe the Commissioner of Finance approves them based on the money's in the budget and not this is the proper use of the money. And so we could put $330 million into contingency, and then that would eliminate the conference attendance. But absent a policy like this, there's no way we could have any say over whether or not the deputy comptroller goes to Sun Surf and Accountability in San Diego, California.
You know, what? You know,
is it? I thought it was Sun Surf.
Legislator Ronk and I spoke about this yesterday. I agree with Legislator Ronk. We should just have one policy for every county employee or department. We should just maybe, legislature has to approve any conference over $1,000, or if there's two, you know, if it's over 1,000 and there's two or more employees going, the legislature, I don't know, there shouldn't be different policies for different departments. It should be one policy for the county.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm trying to follow that.
Oh, here.
Because wasn't that
the problem with it is it's got different, you know, it gives the executive the ability, or the Commissioner of Finance, which is under the executive, the ability to tell another elected official that he or she can't go on a conference. But nobody can tell the executive. The executive could say, or not the executive, the Commissioner of Finance could tell the controllers, a financial analyst, that they can't go to a conference, and then send his or her own staff to go to that same conference. So it doesn't make sense. To me, there should be one policy that you know, anything over 1,000, anything over 5,000, anything more than 2 employees, I don't care what it is, comes back to the legislature or comes to somebody that can make the final determination. But it shouldn't be one department overseeing every other department and then nobody overseeing that department, in my opinion. Legislator Bartles.
I also, I mean, my name's on it, but this is really Legislator Jarenkins. I think it's just by virtue of my previous position. But I also think that coming to the legislature for a request, even if you're talking about applying to everybody, which I think that Legislator Jarenkins, that was a compromise. That's the impression I got at Ways and Means previous, that it was a compromise with the executive's office because there's going to be pushback in terms of separation of powers. And it's a question of whether we want to test that issue right now or not. That's a different story. But I also feel like, let's say we're extended to everybody, the idea of having every conference come to us in form of a resolution that was over $1,000.
Or 2,000 or 5,000.
Whatever the number, but couldn't there be like some other mechanism or some other...
I'm not saying I'm married to that idea.
Versus like you could do a report. Well, I don't mean a report.
The minority leader, the majority leader, and the chairman. You could do 2 Republicans, 2 Democrats, and the chairman is the tiebreaker. I mean, there's you can do a lot of ways.
Do we have an estimate right now, countywide, how many conferences annually are over 1,000?
Well, including airfare and stuff.
Out of state is the issue, and it's not a lot from the executive branch. I know that.
All told, it's got to be a lot.
To the extent I see them, they're generally something that's associated with a federal or state grant, where it's mostly reimbursed, 90+. So again, there's not a lot of it.
And I'm not saying, if I could just jump in, I'm not saying that adding the executive in is, we're going to get that executive for all those conferences. That's not my point. I just think if we're going to do it for one, it should be for everybody. Otherwise...
Right. Yeah, I think I could appreciate that. I know that when the county attorney had worked on this with Legislator Jarenkins, clearly separation of power issues. It'd be just like, having you send your conference attendance from the legislature to the executive for approval. It's a separate branch of government.
No, but the legislature picked an auditing firm that we do on a charter, and the executive decided to tell us we couldn't do it. So there are times when there's a blur between it. So if we have to approve...
That is that you sent a resolution to approve or disapprove.
What precipitated this?
Because of Elliot's travel budget.
The only thing I would... In the last resolved on the page 1... If you're going to reference the charter, I would suggest you just put in the specific and speaking of what part of the charter dissolved, excluding those employees and officers of the new branch of the government specified in the county charter. If you're going to refer to something, I would just suggest you put the
section
something. Otherwise, it could be interpreted in a lot of different ways.
I'm not going to support this to you anyway.
At the least, also, I've always felt that we, the legislative branch, should lead by example. So even if it is a separation of powers issue with the executive branch, why wouldn't we include ourselves in this?
Specifically, in the Ulster County Charter and Administrative Code, it states that the clerk
chairman.
Of the legislature.
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now.
The clerk of the legislature, I believe, approves all travel for the legislature.
I'm looking for it right now.
So are you going to start from the
court? We're not.
Not.
Actually, the only out of state conference I think that the legislature has gone to any legislature. No, for serious. I think that the only out of state conference that any legislator had ever gone to was Terry Bernardo, when she was chairwoman, went to the National Association of Counties, and the only thing the county paid for, I believe, was under $1,000, because the only thing the county paid for was like a $900 conference attendance fee. And she stayed with family down in Maryland and provided her own travel.
Rodriguez went to a conference in Washington.
Yes. A Democratic one.
So maybe he didn't.
Young Democrats or something. Remember that? It was in the paper.
Maybe he didn't do it on...
No, he did.
Was that a long time ago?
It was probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. He actually put in for mileage. It was a Young Democratic Committee conference, and he put in for mileage. He drove down. Remember that?
I didn't know that one.
That was in the Middletown Record.
This isn't out of state. It's just a predecessor conference.
Yeah, I understand.
Rich, this came up during the budget process,
And that's because, and I don't recall who it was, but there was a copy of the travel that was done from the controller's office, and it was like all over the place. I mean, California and
Michigan.
I mean, some places that's hard. Was it Nevada or some Nevada or you know? And it was a lot of money. No. So the chair of Ways and Means, he was very upset about it, and I think that's why.
I don't have a problem with it. The issue is the person is kind of targeting somebody. That person could be the executive next year. They could be the county clerk in 2 years. So what are you going to start changing the laws to just follow that person? That's why if it's a comprehensive law that includes everybody that's allowed to be included, then we're done. I understand the reason it went about, but that person might not be there in 3 years or 7 years, and they could be somewhere else, or it could be a bigger spender in another department, and all of a sudden that department doesn't have to do it. That's, in my opinion, a reason just to come up with a policy for everybody.
My concern is that it be submitted via resolution. It is very cumbersome if it happens to be that there's an important conference that you don't have enough time to get a resolution for, and it's going to cost, you know, with fees and expenses, $1,500. I don't know what the number should be, but the resolution part of it seems cumbersome to me. I do think there should be control, and I think that, you know, large conference expenses should be reviewed. I think there has to be some kind of check and balance, but I'm concerned about the resolution aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, do we want to put it off? I mean, I don't mind putting it off.
I got one question.
Legislator Roberts has the floor. You can go next, Dave.
All right.
We're doing this, Richie's doing this because of what happened in the controller's office. Is there anything in here that prevents them from doing it again next year? It doesn't appear that there is, except, you know, we can still approve everything.
No, the Commissioner of Finance can deny it.
And the Commissioner of Finance can still approve all this.
Right, or he can deny it.
And is he going to deny a conference that's supposedly important in San Francisco?
He doesn't make that. He doesn't even make it, like Legislator Ron said, he doesn't even make a decision based on importance. He just makes it based on financial. I mean, Legislator
Ron
currently is bringing up an example where right now that department has a request in for a conference called Sun, Surf, and Accountability in Southern California. You know what I mean? So it's like that.
So it's a gigantic wave on the pamphlet.
What's the cost? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Well, the flight's going to cost you $700 round trip right off the bat.
So,
but is that reimbursable, any part of that? No, it's not. Okay. I don't care. Whatever you guys want to do, I don't care. There's a motion and a second.
Let's bring it to the floor and debate it there.
We can't amend it here without Richie's consent anyway, so.
I actually think, you know, and Richie has a lot of good points. I honestly think that he should come here and do it at a certain point.
Should you want to invite him next month?
I'm comfortable doing it either way, because if it goes to the floor and we want to send it back, we can, or we can amend it there, or we can pass it there. I mean, it's up to you.
The problem is, we're not going to amend it because nobody really knows what they want put in it. I think most of us agree that it's not perfectly written, or it could be better. But
so
there's not
so
much.
So why don't we hold off? I make a motion we postpone this resolution for a month and invite Legislator Gerentini to come and join us and we can discuss ways we can improve it.
We can pick his brain.
Just a comment. No answer to it's not important, but just something to think about. I'm looking at whereas.
Which one? There's like six of them.
The third one. The participation in a conference or educational training shall be related to such employee's position and shall be in furtherance of their duties as a county government. Or maybe it's mandatory. That's a pretty broad.
Anything could fall into that category.
Well, when you're talking about rationale for doing these things and why are you going to a conference, if you're mandatory that you attend a conference, that's fine. I understand that. But, you know, this is pretty loose.
It also doesn't say who makes that determination.
I understand. But if I can't imagine you would go to anything that would not further into your ability in what you do.
If you don't mind, I get butt in.
I'm done. Oh, David, I'm sorry.
That's a whereas anyway. That's a buck will get you a cup of coffee. I mean, we need to take a look at where the resolves are.
Also in the first resolve, Dave.
It's in the first resolve.
It's also in the first resolve.
All right. Well, then that's different. Again, I think we're trying to micromanage a little too much. I mean, there should be some broad parameters. But having said that, I think we're trying to micromanage a little too much, and I think we need to look at more of the broad parameters.
Okay.
No, that's fine. I don't think we're going to take action on it tonight. All in favor of postponing?
We have a motion to postpone, seconded by Richardson.
For Manna, seconded.
Oh, sorry, Manna.
Any other discussion? All in favor of postponing?
Aye. With the understanding that
we'll
invite Legislator Jarrington
to
come.
It'll be early in the next one. Okay. Next resolution. 458, establishing a policy against suspicionless warrant checks at the entrance of certain county buildings. Legislator Long.
I'll move it.
Okay.
Seconded by
Legislator Green. Okay. Legislator Long.
Oh, you want to go? I was just going to say that, I've been outspoken in wanting to have a special meeting of this committee because, as you can see, we've got a very large and expansive agenda with lots of things that take lots of time. I think that we need to have one meeting dedicated to building security and that this should be discussed at said special meeting. Now that we're here, I think that we should pick a day and have a special meeting. That's what I think.
Legislator Bartels, she had her hand up. Okay, Kathy, you go.
Just so you know, Ken, we're trying to do that. You sent letters out to the NCLU, the Attorney General, Holly Conright. Mr. Conright said he would attend. Mm-hmm. The NYCLU said they would. They might not attend, but they certainly would be happy to give some input. Well, I'm sure the Attorney General will also. So we are in the process of creating a list of people that would come. We haven't picked a date yet. You know, a lot of it will depend, I guess, on people's availability, but we are working on it.
Well, two things. When this was sent back to committee, it was sent back with a time frame, so which I'm sure we're aware, so it's got to go to the floor in March, right?
Yep.
So it would have to be between now and, I guess, the resolution is the 25th. But just to be clear, are you, Legislator Rump, are you talking about this resolution, or are you talking about now a whole broad look at security for the buildings, which includes cameras and analyzing each building, and something that's going to take much more than one meeting between now and March?
I don't think that we have to decide what cameras go in what building or whatnot. I think that we set a policy, and then the executive would decide what cameras go in what building to comply with that policy.
But you do understand that this resolution just addresses one specific issue, and that's by design, because that's the issue that was before us.
I understand that. I've said all along, I don't think that we should be doing it one piece at a time. I think that we should be doing it all together.
And what does the all together include? That's what I'm trying to grasp.
Well,
like,
right
what
now,
are you going to bring to, like, what is someone else going to bring to the table in writing that's going to talk about, like, this broader security issue? Since that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about suspicionless warrant checks. So I want to get a handle and be prepared for this meeting that's going to bring all the stakeholders to the table to talk about all the security issues at all the buildings.
Well, I didn't even know we were engaging the NYCLU or the Attorney General's office or any of that. That was new information tonight.
Well,
we're bringing all the stakeholders.
Those stakeholders make sense to me in terms
right,
of this
in terms of this, correct.
But beyond this resolution, when you talk about something piecemeal, that's what I need to get a handle on, what exactly we're going to be talking about. because I'm prepared to talk about this.
Well, if we're gonna establish a policy against suspicionless warrant checks, and again, I find fault personally with the word with suspicionless, because I think that that's a very broad term that could be interpreted differently by each individual police or peace officer. One person's suspicion isn't another person's suspicion under the law. And again, a lot of what is reasonable suspicion and what is not reasonable suspicion is up to a judge in each individual case. So,
I mean, I think in my conversations with the sheriff, I think it's pretty clear, and I agree that all of the sheriff's agents and the agents of this county are well trained in terms of when there is reasonable suspicion, and this policy does not prevent an officer of the law from conducting a warrant check when there is reasonable suspicion. We just know that we found ourselves in a situation where there was a policy change and every person was run against a warrant check. That's a suspicionless warrant
what
check.
Stops
when I wrote, you run a check.
Well, what stops a... what stops a law enforcement agency under this law? Would this law stop a law enforcement agency from bringing in a mobile plate reader and leaving it in front of the county building?
I don't think this addresses that.
No. Two incredibly different automobile search and personal search are very, very, very different legally. So probably.
Well, this doesn't.
Very likely no.
Right, and my point is that would net quite a bit the same, the same. It would cast. It's casting a different net and receiving the same result as running them through the mobile data portal.
Right, but I was dealing with what's before us. I mean, on your suggestion, maybe I would consider bringing forward a stop the, mobile license unit. Policy, but that's not what's before us right now.
Okay, can I just ask a quick question? If this is going to the floor,
by whatever that compromise we have.
So then why then we shouldn't even be discussing it?
Well, it was sent back.
If it's going to be on the floor, why? I don't even want to discuss it. No, and I'm not being disrespectful, but it's going to be on the floor.
It
was on the floor, and it was sent back because supposedly there were all these people that wanted to talk about it.
Well, we're talking about it, and we're going to have a meeting together with some stakeholders.
I was very specific in that meeting as well.
But if it's going to go back, then it'll go back to the floor. If it gets referred back, if that stakeholder meeting doesn't happen until April and it gets referred back, then it gets referred back. I mean, Tracy, you've been on the legislature a long time. There's been a lot of resolutions to get passed, failed, mm-hmm. tabled, referred to committee. I mean, this isn't anything new. Certainly nothing new. Anybody that's been in elective office.
But it was implied at the last legislative session that this is going back to laws and rules for an amendment.
Well, we're going to get the stakeholders and have a meeting.
It was the discussion as part of the overarching building security policy. That was the exact words that I used.
Listen, can I just make a statement? All right, this is what's happening. There are people that support it. There's people that don't support it. There's people on the fence. The bottom line is, when people refer to committee, they don't have to have a reason. There's nothing in the rules. There's nothing anywhere. They can refer to committee because they don't want to ever vote on it. That's perfectly within their rights. So to come to a meeting,
not why I
no, but, but they can. There could be somebody that last month said to refer back to committee because they have concerns. And now they've decided they don't have concerns anymore. But to come here to insinuate that we have to pass something because that was implied a month ago, if this is going back to the floor of the legislature next month, it shouldn't be in front of our committee. It shouldn't be here. It doesn't belong here.
It is new in that I've never, in my time in the legislature, which is much shorter than yours, but in
not
my
really.
Time in the legislature, I have never seen something referred back to committee with an automatic discharge date, which is what we did. We referred it back to committee with
caveat
that it had to come out and be back on the floor in March. I've never seen that before.
You know, because it was the end of a meeting. People were tired. They were just like, I want to go home, so whatever you guys want to do is fine.
I don't think that's legal.
It's not legal. It sounded great that night to get everybody so we could go home.
Well, it was how we, if I may.
It was how
to get the sponsor to agree to send it back.
I didn't agree.
The majority of legislators wanted to send it back.
Okay. I just would like to weigh in on this and say that this started in the budget process, as I recall. And during the budget process, rather than curtail the budget and send the security out, to contract or subcontract it out, which there was a lot of support for because of the concern about suspicionless warrant checks that were that had become routine. The decision was to make a policy, and we made a policy which is very clear. It's not targeting. It's exactly what it needs to be. And I would
like.
But
we still need 13 votes. And if 13 people, 12. If 12 people don't vote for it, then so be it. We're all elected. That's all I'm getting at. And I supported this in committee.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, if there's not the vote, you can't force people to support it.
Well, how do we know if it was never voted on?
Because enough people voted to refer it to committee. So that if that didn't send a message, Lynn, then I don't know what meeting you were at or you know. You can't, at the end of the day, people can vote how they can vote. You can't try to change the rules so people have to vote a certain way or change the rules so they're forced to vote yes or no.
It wasn't my suggestion with the date. I had nothing.
All I'm saying is, at the end of the day, you got to respect how people vote, period.
Can I say something?
Whether it goes up or down, it goes your way, doesn't go your way. Yes.
You know, I just think referring back to committee prevented, and I may be wrong, prevented her from being defeated.
Right.
That's what I think. To give more time for folks to chat about it. I may be wrong. I may not have counted the votes right. But I think coming back, because a lot of it makes sense. And yet the executive has now signed a contract where there will be no warrant checks in the ISS or DSS or wherever it is. And that's all something I think has to be discussed is are these buildings under his care, custody, and control? And do we exempt the jail? Or do, you know, where do we go? I mean, can we tell a policeman if the executive didn't, and the sheriff didn't agree to something, can we tell a policeman, no, you can't pursue that? It'd be like, you've heard me say it maybe facetiously, could we outlaw DWI checks on 28? We can't do that. But I think, in all honesty, it was referred back to.
Well, I mean,
for more discussion, and I may be wrong in my counting, but it gives time for everybody to come up with ideas. And I talk to him regularly about people to come. I've spoken to people at the state level about what they do in some places, and I will pass it on to him or to the committee or to whomever I'm supposed to. So we can come up with a comprehensive plan that's not piecemealing everything, because it would be awful. I mean, I could see, I guess everything is subject to change, but if the boss said, well, I think we should now have warrant checks in some building, and we pass something that says there will be no more warrant checks, then we got to come back and have a debate. Well, it's all right if we do it over here. I have confidence in the executive. And let's make a policy that's board-based, that gives them time, or whomever that person is, time to do what they think is right. And the other half is just people have written letters to Cappy to sort of say it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And it'd be nice to ask them that question. Is it? Show me where. Or is it you think it might be? So this,
that was the letter that I read.
Huh?
That was the way I took the Attorney General's letter that they said they didn't seem to want to.
Well, I don't want to get into that. Now, I'm just saying I believe it was referred back to committee to come up, not to tell us.
No, and I'm grateful to hear that. And I'm not trying to be argumentative. I am just trying to understand. So what is the next step? Because that's what I thought we were going to be here today for. Back at committee, and now we're not.
I'm fine being here to 11 if everybody else is. I mean,
I'm not.
But I'm saying, no, I didn't just expect the committee members, because I had heard about.
Well, Paul came at 6. He didn't know the meeting got
changed.
The sheriff was here earlier, but he didn't realize that the meeting got changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I'm trying to understand who else
when this is going to be. Obviously, you're going to pick a date, but
that was my
before
goal.
March.
Yes.
Well, we spoke yesterday about having a date tonight.
But it's already. It doesn't have to be before resolution deadline because the resolution is already in.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the committee. It could be any time prior to the March meeting, as long as we have our meeting, then we can move it to the floor.
And he's trying to coordinate some rules. Say, did you come down?
May I say something?
Please.
But I believe the resolution was tabled, was sent back to committee, like Tracy said, with the understanding that it would be voted on in March, regardless. If that was part of the understanding why I voted for it to go back to committee. So, I mean, voted on doesn't mean that, you know, I guess. I asked for an up or down vote, and I thought it should be that, but, I mean, it's hard to say. A vote that goes before the legislature is a vote, whether you table or send a committee or yes or no, but I believe the understanding was it was going to be a yes or no in the March meeting.
I agree with that, but I think Representative Bartels' point is that this committee would have to send it back to the floor by March.
If not, it's going to the floor.
It's going
to
the petition
discharge. Without
it, but yeah. Well, but the petition, after the petition discharge, we have to fail the committee to have a second petition discharge.
Except that we had that weird spoken agreement that it's going to the floor in March, which is not, Kevin may be right, that's not like,
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying, that's never happened before, and my understanding is it's being voted on in March. I get that it could be voted down, it could be referred back, it could be whatever.
You may even send it back to the floor.
Yeah, I get all that. But I'm just saying, okay, so what's the next step? If we're not, if there aren't more people here to discuss, and there's a lot of people interested, what is the next step?
So the next step would be to hold a meeting.
Let's set it up.
The stakeholders.
I can't see how, and I'm going to agree with you, Trace, that these two are linked, the broad search. I mean,
people can disagree, Kev.
I can't see how the warrantless checks or this suspicionless warrant checks and cameras in the parking lot and badges walking in the building and whatever are all related. And the reason why is even if we come down and have this, we're going to put cameras here, we're going to put security guard here, we're going to give badges to legislators to get in the building after dark and water down the searches. Tracy, am I correct? You're not going to accept that.
Well, I actually don't even feel really qualified to have a discussion. I mean, I had a conversation with Paul Van Barkum about this. I said, look, I'm not looking to micromanage your department at all. This is simply to stop the suspicionless warrant checks. And when Paul and I spoke about it, I said, in its current form, because he's currently not doing this.
Right, he stopped it.
In its current form, would it change the way you're operating at all today? And he said, no. And I said, Do you agree that you have the and your officers have the authority to conduct a warrant check with suspicion? And he said, absolutely. And I said, I agree with you too. I said, I don't want to get into it. I'm not qualified to say where cameras go. And now we're going to have in one meeting we're going to solve the security of all the buildings. Maybe we do need more security, but
I think it's a whole different conversation. I think it is with today's threats and everything. I think it should be looked over a period of months, and maybe we can come up with a quicker solution. And, you know, I think we should bring this vote on this tonight, bring it to the floor, and vote up and down.
It's going to the floor already.
In February or March?
No, by March.
Oh, I don't care.
It could go in February.
I don't care. Let Kathy and then let's say
what I think the first point is very, very well made. I think the first question that has to be answered at one point is what is policy and what is day-to-day running of the county in regard to this?
No, come up with a solid definition on that, and you win the prize. I'm just throwing that out there. Many have tried.
It's a very, very good question, and this is one area where the question perhaps needs to be defined.
Okay. Let's agree.
I just want to agree with Legislator Roberts that building security is an issue, and it's come up in public works as well. Legislator Lauren is asking for a plan for building security. In this day and age, we really need to look at all the buildings, particularly this building, but all of the buildings. And I think that's something that it's going to take a little bit of time, but I think it's timely to do it. I don't hear any discussion or concern about the actual resolution. And so I think we ought to move it forward. And I think that your point is well taken, but I think it's a separate point. This is simply in response to creating a policy that was requested in lieu of a very severe, right, you know, for the Sheriff's Department, a very severe change in the proposed budget, which at the time I think there was support for. So
Don,
I hope we do move it forward.
Clamoring to speak, so if you want, let Don go first, and then I'll go again.
Doesn't matter. I'll be here.
No.
Once you cancel a meeting.
Let's say the
board
says. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
I didn't know you had your hand up. I thought you were just holding your glasses.
Holding my glasses?
Yeah, you were like this. You didn't go. You were just holding. I
was shoveling snow on my roof. So I can't.
There was a far-sighted ant over on the thing, and he was holding that for me.
I still have a problem with separating out security with warrantless checks.
Suspicionless checks.
Security is security. We do have security, whether it be magnetometers, whether we have hand wands and things like that. Maybe we need cameras, we need whatever else. This is something that's completely different. When the sheriff was here, one of the things I think I remember him saying was that he didn't advise mm-hmm. the people that they didn't have to provide their identification. And I spent a fair amount of time today looking at the Fourth Amendment and looking at probable cause and looking at what suspicion is, and suspicion is all over the lot. Mm-hmm. And there's a reasonable suspicion for could be the way that you're, who you're with, and how they're dressed, and how you're walking. There could be a lot of things that could cause suspicion. But mm-hmm. nobody is. If you come in there and you're doing what you should be doing, and you have to be there to meet with the people that decide if you get whatever it is that you're getting, and you're doing absolutely nothing wrong, and you're not told in any way that you can say no to this. That's where I have a problem, and as far as the Attorney General, he always spoke to the issue, I think, because of where it happened.
So, because it was only happening there.
Well, that's why he spoke to that part of the issue. I promise you that this is a much bigger to-do than just that. The second thing that bothers me is the petition to discharge. If we don't honor the petition to discharge,
we're going
to
get to that later.
We might as well not have it.
We did honor it.
Well, we put it.
It went on the floor.
No, can I say something, Don?
Let me finish. You'd be happy to. Let me finish what I'm doing, and then whatever you'd like.
Don, if we pass a resolution tonight out of a committee, can the legislature send it back to committee? But if somebody gets a petition to discharge with 8 signatures out of 23, the legislature is forced to vote yes or no? It's probably one of the most ridiculous things I ever heard in my life.
The whole point of having the petition to discharge
it's 8 people.
Is to get a vote.
It's 8 people.
To get
They're
the
getting
floor.
A vote. It's to get it to the floor.
To get
They're getting a
action
vote.
Action by the full
They're getting a vote.
It right back.
So what? They're getting a vote.
If it passed committee, it can go back to the floor.
That's right. If it passes committee, it can go back to committee.
Well,
so you want a special rule for a petition to discharge that you don't want for other resolutions that pass committee.
No, I'm
going, but no, you
I'm
do.
Going with what our attorney said at the time, that it was the spirit of doing this.
No.
And he's an attorney, and this is his opinion.
He didn't.
This is his opinion. It's a legal opinion.
Vote on the rules.
That it was meant to be brought up and down.
But it doesn't say it.
That's right, it does not.
It doesn't say it. And we go by what's written down. We don't go by what somebody felt good about and said. We go by what's passed.
Not what I intended when I was supporting the rules, but...
Yeah, I think we've got a lot more important things in this county to worry about than whether somebody can't refer a resolution to committee being told how to vote. Which is basically, you're telling people how to vote.
No, it doesn't have to come out.
You vote.
I did vote.
I can vote to refer to committee. I can vote to table. Read Robert's Rules. Pretty simple.
It goes around in a circle.
Do you think that's the first resolution that's been tabled?
I think any resolution that gets a petition to discharge with a number, we have a rule. Should
then
have
why
a rule.
Have committees?
Then let's get rid of committees. That's
the whole point.
Go
back again to it.
Say what you like. The whole point of it is to have not let it die in committee.
Right.
Is get a vote.
Listen, if it didn't pass committee the first time, that should tell you one thing right off the bat. It didn't pass committee. It doesn't have the support of the committee.
Well, that's a different
issue. So it's not a different issue, because that's the only way a petition to discharge goes up. It failed committee. Swamp. Failed. Majority of people didn't want it. So then there's another way to bring it to the floor. No problem. Done. When we were first elected, as long as you submitted a resolution with your name on it 8 days before the legislative meeting, it went to the floor of the legislature. You don't need a petition to discharge. Don Gregorius put a resolution in saying the sky is going to turn purple tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, and it had to get voted on. It could be referred to committee. Let's go back that way. I want to put a resolution in. I don't need you to sign off on it, or Ken, or him. I can put a resolution. That's a real resolution, Don. Let's put that one in.
Well, we don't want,
that's
we
the way the rules work for 35 years.
We have
years.
One here that passed, unfortunately, we had an ex officio vote to it. Otherwise, it wouldn't pass the committee. I understand. I don't know who
listen,
you what.
You get done.
Mr. Chair, can we get back to 458?
Yeah. Let's get back to 458.
May I?
Thank
yes.
you.
Everyone says, I don't know how these two things are connected. I will draw what my belief of a straight line between the two is, between building security and suspicionless warrant checks. Using DSS as an example, because that's where it was happening. If you've got a sign-in sheet and you're checking driver's licenses to see that the person who signs their name is correct. Now, whether or not they run it through Nix. It does matter. And here's why. I'm sorry. I'm trying to draw a conversational line. We've been going back and forth here. So we've got a list of people who are signing in, and the sheriff is checking, this person's warrants in the mobile data port. One thing that will show up in that is orders of protection. Now you're sending people into the building. You're knowing that they're going into the building. What happens if there's a woman who's in the building who has an order of protection against a man that's going into the building? That's useful information for the officer to know to make sure that this man is not going to go in there and beat the crap out of that woman. Or vice versa, quite frankly. That is where security and these checks is tied together. It's useful information for the officer to know that there are two people in there that have maybe one or both have orders of protection against each other. And quite frankly, the Department of Social Services, and I believe would be, it's just terrible to say, more likely to have situations like that because you're dealing with, child support and everything of that nature there. So that is where security is tied to these checks to me.
Okay, let's call the question. We're either going to vote to bring it on the floor next week, or if there's no action, then it goes in March.
Or you have this meeting that you're talking about.
Well, that's the thing. Do we want to go just to next week and we don't worry about the meeting?
Well, I think we. I've been saying that, and that was why I referred back to the committee to have a meeting to discuss it. But if that's not the will of the committee, just bring it to the floor and I'll vote no. That's
just
fine.
Just as the sponsor, I will be at whatever. I mean, I hope you'll include me in terms of determining when it is,
totally.
But I would be at whatever meeting you were calling, but I'm very much on the same page, regardless of whether or not we agree in the outcome, very much on the same page as Legislator Roberts in terms of, I really think that this building security issue, it's critical, it's important, but that's not what's before us on this page. And so I'm worried that if we're going to in earnest take up building security and start talking about everything about building security, which is more than I could probably even imagine because it's not my expertise, but if we're going to start talking about everything about building security and what we do with the different buildings and which floors get cameras and should there be cameras and should there be this and should there be that and what kind of experts do we bring in, I don't imagine that that's going to happen at one meeting with the NYCLU and the DA. You know what I mean? That would involve buildings and grounds and law enforcement in a joint meeting, really breaking down a plan for all the buildings. This is about just preventing suspicionless warrant checks. Period.
Well, let's
finish this up then. I'm going to make a decision.
But in any event, it will be on the floor in March.
In March, yeah. It will be.
So
it will someone
be.
Needs
it
to
will
talk
will
to you.
Why
are you?
So why do we need a resolution to bring it in next
week?
You don't
need to do anything.
Yeah, let's take no action. Is that all right?
I prefer to take an action and discharge it.
You know what? Listen, Sheriff Van Barkum is not doing it right now, so there's no urgency. You know what? And he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
So if we want to get it done, we got to get it done. Certainly not.
Unless
they
make a policy
it's a non-issue
that it happens
right
in all buildings. That's a
Okay.
Serious.
We're taking no action. We're going to go to resolution.
Totally understand.
Resolution 14, adopting an amended annual financial disclosure form. I would.
I'll move it.
Do we have to vote to keep it in committee? I'm sorry, I just don't know.
No, the committee could take no action on it, and then it does not
go out in March.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're doing the disclosure form. Attached is a version that Dutchess County does. My recommendation would be that we test Dutchess County's. It's so much easier, simpler. This form that we fill out, to be honest with you, when I did mine, according to B. Hevranek, it was so long. I sat down with her, and she basically did it for me, which is...
I like that. I get called in her office every year.
Yeah, so to me...
That's an important point on this.
Yeah.
Different on the other one. I think there were 11 or more of us reading the same information in the same document and answering it twice.
Yep.
The wrong thing to do when we would be brought up to explain it. So what we have now, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't work.
Yes. Did you see Dutchess County's? It's in here.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very simple.
I'll second Rich's motion that we amend the resolution.
You want to move it next month or is it?
We need to. It's got to go out. It has to go to the floor. Yeah. So
Dutchess County's doing it.
I just will share with you. I asked for a red line version of what the changes were. They changed last year's question 2 and 3 and combined it into question 2 this year to try to make it clear that they want you to just wherever you're anybody getting their income from. I would just wanted to share that with you that was the change that they made.
Can you repeat that, please?
Last year's question 2 and 3, it said nature of investment instead of nature of income. So it was asking you if you worked for the county, people didn't understand. I had to write it down twice. Because it said nature of investment instead of nature of income. So they combined question 2 and 3 from last year's form into just question 2 this year, which they and clarified the wording.
This is in the Ulster.
In Ulster.
Okay.
So
he also felt that Dutchess County doesn't address the contracts. People that have, you know, and that's why.
Yes, it does. Do you do business with Dutchess County? That would be.
That's Legislative Bartels.
Just in terms of Dutchess County, because this is the first time I'm really looking at it. If you look at number 4, and it's the same with number 4 and number 5, it says for every individual identified in question 3. So is that to follow that? You only check question 3 if you just based on the top. If you
all answered, boxes.
If you answered
all boxes.
A box. Only if you check the box in number 2. Yeah. Do you answer the questions 3 through 6? But here's the one problem. It's like, wouldn't we still want to know? Let's say, just use me as an example. I don't do any business with such as county.
For all
5%, Ulster won 5% of stock, or receive any benefits payment or gifts in excess of that allowed. Oh, okay. So then, that's the number 4 is the gifts associated. Like, is that...
Right.
I'm just... Okay. So
that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even if I check no to those, wouldn't you still want to know these answers to 4 and 5?
No, because if you don't get anything over 75, it's
right.
A moot point.
So, for example, okay, let me just... using me as an example, and again, I'm looking at this on the fly. I check no. I don't do business with Ulster County short of being an employee. I don't receive any benefits or gifts, and I don't own 5% of stock.
So you don't check anything?
Right, so I don't check anything.
Yep.
Now, that means I don't have to answer number 5, which says that I have a promise of future employment or payment in excess of... I don't have to answer that anymore because I currently don't do business, but meanwhile, I have a promise of employment.
Which, by the way, you would also... If you look here, it says if you check the box in question 2 above, go to page 2... If you haven't, you just complete the certification. Yeah, you don't answer the rest of the question.
It says
that's her point. That's my point. Is if I said no to 2, but someone's promised me a $30,000 job, I don't have to answer questions.
Are you answering it today in our ethics thing? In Ulster County's current ethics one?
I don't know. I didn't look. Yes, I would be. I'm assuming.
I've never seen where anybody's promised you a job in our current ethics form.
I don't know. I have to look that.
So if it's not a current one, what do we care if it's a Dutchess County's one?
And the one other thing that I just want to bring, or the two other questions that I would have.
Yeah, because Hector could get in trouble with this one.
Okay, but the two other questions that I have is.
It's true.
Inappropriate.
It's true.
Do you want, I mean, in ours, I know this because it's more, in ours, I have to, you know, because of my significant other, I have to list, you know, all his property and all of the where his income comes from, like, that's no longer included in this one.
Wait, who's now?
My significant other, I've got a list, all his property, all his income.
Not in this one.
Not in this one.
Only if he does business with the county.
But you don't even want, you wouldn't want to know.
What do I care?
Really? Okay.
If he's not having a benefit from Ulster County?
Yeah, that's very
like me, I have a couple of rentals that I get monies from the county for. I would have to list that on here.
Maybe
I would, because mine says I don't have a contract with the county. The payment goes to the tenants and then they give it to me. I'll find all that
usually
out.
Usually it goes to the landlord.
Well, I can get it. I do get it on some, but sometimes, but if you read a contract that says this is released to the tenant, and we have no, you should, it's a pretty good form.
We got to get B involved in that one.
Yeah, I think so. And also, I like seeing that, you know, relatives and service, I think, is an important thing probably for the public to know.
We already have a policy against that.
No, it's just people who work for Ulster County. Like, you have to list if who your relatives are that work for Ulster County in this one. In the next one, you don't have to. I think there's probably some great things in this one. In some ways, you're simplifying, but it's probably pretty clear.
To the best of your knowledge, do you, your spouse, your children, or dependents, or any relatives as identified, have any of the following relationships with Ulster County?
Where are you?
It's right above it, number two. Read the line in number two.
But do business with Ulster County doesn't strike me as being an employee.
Who cares if they're an employee? What if Bob Aiello's wife worked here for years? I mean, big deal. What is that a conflict? That's not a conflict in any way.
No, it's not a conflict. But I do think that the public might want to know it in terms of looking at an ethics forum, because somewhere down the line, you know, depending on how people vote, maybe they want to say, oh, look at so and so has X amount of relatives doing this. I mean, it's just information.
But then, I understand what you're saying, but
I mean, if you're looking at stuff the public's going to want to know, how many, you know, county contractors have donated to a county official of some sort? I mean, that's I think as a constituent, I would want to know that before I'd want to know whose brother or sister is a toll collector.
Hey, look, there's nothing prohibiting them from working for the county, so they're in illegal employment. I mean, I don't know. I know what you're saying, but...
Well, did the Board of Ethics look at this one, too? The Dutchess County one? I was told they did.
Yeah, right.
And what did they think was their...
I understand that there is a time constraint, but I do not understand... A, what's wrong with our current disclosure form, and it just seems to me that the two, there, somebody ought to take the time to compare the two and to come up with something, you know, not just chuck one and automatically adopt the other, but to do something that really makes sense. I mean, if we were going to do Dutchess, maybe what we want to do is leave all the questions, but not.
You know, I got an idea. It's really easy. There's nothing wrong with the one we're doing. What we have now. Why don't we leave it the way it is and then come up with a new one next year?
You know, these things are like keys to your front door. They only keep out the honest people.
You know what? And can I just say another thing? Real estate ownership. Somebody just got to go to GIS and Google my name and they can see real estate I own. I mean, it's not... And another thing, what does me owning real estate have to do with me being a legislator? Because it goes, look at their thing. If I'm
well, maybe
doing
you
business,
only want to decrease property taxes, so you don't pay
more. What if... Yeah, but that's not a county issue. That's a town issue. They set my tax rates, not county. So... If I'm not doing business with the county, if I'm not receiving payment or gifts, who cares? And you know what? When 11 legislators that we know of get called to B's office because they filled it out wrong, something's pretty dumb with the form. I would think. I mean, and 11 people, and I was called in 2 years ago, and I fill out my form, or 3 years ago, I fill out my form identical now, word for word, for the last 3 years since I was called B. So I'm one of those, there's 11, add me to it. I just don't have to come back because I was corrected the first time what I did wrong.
Just for accuracy, I thought he said 11.
Yeah, I was one of them.
Yeah, and I went 3 or 4 years ago.
Three right here. Four.
Yeah.
Apparently, they sat down with like dozens and dozens. Because we get several hundred of these forms, and more than a third of the people didn't fill it out properly. That's why they changed that.
So something's wrong with it.
So it needs to be fixed.
They did change it.
But
they still have not two of them. Relative and county service is new. That's new.
That is new?
Ridiculous. I've never filled that out before.
Well, Legislator Ronk has a motion. I'm seconding it.
That's been there.
I don't have any relatives in county service, so maybe that's why I didn't realize.
No, Dutchess County's and put our just
I just copied mine from the last year. Okay. You know,
that's all I do.
All the same, and I want to avoid going to B's office.
Well, have you asked B? You know,
I don't have to ask B.
Well, I'm just saying, you could end up going to B's office with the Dutchess County version as well. It seems to me like there is just not enough thought that's gone into it.
Listen, I had to fill out 68 pages of this stuff and get interviewed by the state police twice to go on a silly order board that I spend $150 to drive up four times a year. Try that one. Fingerprints. Everything. They will go and check to see where I live in. How long were you really in business?
You know what does it? The state police do it. State police investigates. Let's say, Robert.
You have to ask yourself what you want us to do, right?
All we want to do is find out if people are doing business with the county. We're doing anything unethical.
Right. But I think you have to define what you want to, what you're looking for.
That's why we have a board of ethics. I mean, we appoint a board of ethics.
Legislator Rock, you have a motion supporting Dutchess County?
No.
So you don't want the Dutchess County one?
I said we don't need to change it. Why don't we just do the one we already, you know, why don't we just go with the one we already have? Which we would just not do Resolution 14. And then they would send out the one we've been doing for 10 years.
I got a suggestion. You know what? I ran for the state last year, and I called up Kenny because they sent me a packet to fill out for ethics. I said, Kenny, I can't believe how easy this is. You know, it was like 5 pages. It was like clear and simple. I didn't need B to interpret it for me. And I think that's the same thing we're getting from Dutchess County. And there might be some resistance to changing. You know, maybe you should make it like the Dutchess County one optional for the people like myself who are like stupid. And
that's a good idea. I might just fill out either or.
The state one? I mean, maybe we can get a copy of the state one.
That one people aren't going to like because you have to put a range of dollar amount that you make at each of your
mutual funds and stuff.
And each of the, you know, like between $150,000 and $200,000, between $250,000 and $500,000.
The form has to go out by March 1st, they need to vote on it.
Which is why we don't need to vote on it. If we don't vote yes or no on this,
11 people have gotten it straight out and squared away, and you're 12.
Hopefully, if I may, because I answered it wrong, so I haven't really spent time looking at it. But I would assume that the correction hopefully clarifies it. But I think a good point was brought up to just pick one or the other now without really a thoughtful process. Maybe you're just better putting the old one.
I disagree. It wasn't thoughtful. I went through it, and I think this is pretty simple, and this is a much better idea. And form for the legislators and volunteer board members. Is it fair to have our volunteer board members sit with the county attorney because they filled out the form wrong? It's pretty stupid.
Removed the unpaid volunteer boards.
We did back.
I know we.
Who fills it out? How many people fill it out?
I know that we at least removed the fire advisory board.
Hundreds of people fill it out.
I was on there and they all were going to quit.
I think some of the others still do it.
So there's volunteers. So four said hundreds.
We get many more than 100 of these, and we also have trouble sometimes getting people to serve on some of the boards because they felt these weren't true.
It's crazy. Well, I'm making a motion we adopt the Dutchess County.
Was there a motion on the floor? Was yours
no,
a motion?
No, I didn't make a motion. I just said we should
okay.
vote on it.
All in favor of adopting Dutchess County's, say aye.
Aye.
Against it?
No.
No.
Two no's. It passed 3-2.
No.
Oh, Legislative Donaldson's here.
He can't vote. No. He's not here. It passes.
John vote.
He can vote.
It passes.
John voted.
And Tracy can back me up on this because we looked it up the last time.
Okay, so we're going to forward Dutchess County to the Florida Legislature next week.
Thank you. Vote it down if people don't like it.
We might have to go through and clear some of the because
we're going to. By the way, folks, if it gets voted down on the floor, that means that we use the old one for the old one, year,
which isn't the end of the world either.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's got to be made simpler.
I agree with you that it has to be made simpler. But some of Tracy's concerns, hit home with me that we're not going to get everybody that we're going to want to know
to make honest people seem.
Ryan Williams will have time to help us. He's been suspended for 6 months without pay.
I thought he was going on hiatus to go in a helicopter somewhere.
That's another point. With all
which one
going on and Ryan all that, people might not be happy that you're going to the
chair. Okay. Resolution 36, amending the rules of the legislature.
Who's ready for hour number three? Let's go.
Well, is there a motion?
I'll move at this.
I said that.
Anybody second? I moved it.
All right, it fails. Resolution 37, amending the rules of order of the Ulster County. There's no second. No, it's too late now. We're on the next resolution. Amending the rules of order of the Ulster County Legislature. Rule number 37. Number 37. Is there a motion?
Which one?
It's over. We're on the next resolution.
37.
That'd be a late when you're here.
Clearly this is what people want to operate. This is really bad.
Man, do you want a second 36? You know, Legislator Archer, I sent you an email. You never responded to me.
Because you know what? You isolated it. Everybody else puts resolutions in. It was for up for discussion. That's what resolutions come to the committee.
Okay. Same way.
So Legislative Green, would you like to second?
I will second for the purpose of discussion.
Okay. There. You know what? You've got your way. Legislator Ron.
I mean, really.
Legislator Ron's got the floor. Listen, if nobody wants to second it, they're not obligated to second it. All right? So stop trying to change the rules to make things happy. I ask for a motion, and I ask for a second, like a chairperson does. If nobody seconds it, I move to the next motion. So don't get up thinking you're all tough and that you're being disservice. No, you said it.
Come on. I did not yell at you the way you just yelled.
There was not a second on the floor. Don't get mad at me. I'm going by the rules. There was not a second on the floor.
Okay, Richard, that's how you want to operate.
No.
That's fine.
So, Legislator Ronk has the floor. Legislator Ronk has. No, it's not whatever I want. It's what the rules of the legislature are.
Do as you please. I get it.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I spoke with the sponsor on this. I believe that this is three separate rules changes. It's all in the same resolution. And the way I sort of liken that to. What Legislator Bartels and I had fought against with the contracts was, there are a couple of these changes that I'd like to support. And there's, honestly, I could probably support all of them with some changes. As of right now, I think I'd have to vote against the resolution as it's written because I don't agree with the first part of the change, the petition to discharge change. While I do believe that there should be a end to the petition to discharge, that it should not be a continuous loop, I also don't believe that 8 legislators who sign a petition to discharge get to determine that the legislature must take this action, this specific up or down action. I think that a petition to discharge brings it for action by the full legislature, which could include, no, we don't agree that this is ready for ready for a final decision right now. We think it should go back to committee for more work. And that's something that 12 legislators that could decide, that maybe 3 or 4 legislators in a committee or 8 legislators on a petition to discharge would decide. And we've had issues in the past where people have signed a petition to discharge to send it to the floor for action and then voted against it on the floor. So even the 8 people that you're having sign the petition to discharge aren't necessarily saying that, oh, we agree with this action. So if I could just finish my line of thought, I think that the second time a resolution reaches the floor by a petition to discharge, that you should be required to have an up or down vote in order to not provide the continuous loop. In addition to which, Chairman Parity's rules change, which comes next, would make it so you couldn't get a petition to discharge, send it back to committee, and then postpone it indefinitely. You'd only be able to postpone it for
the difference in mind is 3 times. That I didn't want to have anything passed today.
I understand.
I wanted to keep it in the committee and have some sort of a plan to, instead of piecemealing these things, which I think are just plain silly. There's a number of things postponing. I mean, I've had resolutions never voted down, just postponed. And postponed.
Me too.
And postponed. So I couldn't get a committee. I couldn't get a proposal of discharge.
You know.
So,
I would rather.
I'm going to vote no on this.
I would rather just put it in that any single legislator can put a resolution on the floor. That way, the petition to discharge goes away. Let's
Let's
still
wait
for 30 years.
Why have
one legislator can submit a resolution?
Everyone's my committee that does.
You're right, Rich. I'm sorry.
See, this is what happens when we discuss things.
If you're in a committee,
that was funny. I like that.
I've had situations where prior to this year, where I've had a resolution that passed in the committee I was in, passed in a Ways and Means, passed in another committee, and then got to Laws and Rules, I couldn't get it out. I mean, that was a few years ago. This is the problem. If you have a committee, we have a committee system of government, and you bring something
to the committee. Now, why didn't you put this? This is your resolution. No, why didn't you put it in there?
Well, because it has to come to this committee.
Well, you should have put it in there at the beginning.
I'm just trying to explain my.
Okay.
I've had resolutions in the committee that was postponed, never voted up, never voted down, postponed for 4 or 5 months at a time. I couldn't do anything.
I let you know. And then.
I want to correct that. Vote no. It's easy. Vote yes. It's easy. Vote to postpone was just a way to slap us around a little bit and say, you don't get anything out of it. You're not going to, we don't want it, or somebody's telling us not to want it.
I've never voted.
All right, wait, no. Legislative privilege on the floor. I'll let it finish.
My opinion is, you know, if for some reason or other, you know, a committee votes, for instance, laws and rules, and have a vote and vote no. So the legislator's resolution then has an opportunity to do a petition to discharge. Because it's not clear enough, and that's what this changes, is if you petition to discharge, the intent is it's going to go to the legislature, and it's going to be a yes or no.
No, that's not the intent. Not in any shape or way or shape or form.
Wow.
It's going to go to Legislator Archer.
And just so I'm clear, just so you're all clear, I understand that this was going to create conversation. I knew I wasn't going to be on this committee. So what I wanted to do was to bring a couple of things to the table. I checked with Vicki about putting multiple things, particularly on rule change, and that was my guidance. So it was never intended to be hardball driving through, but part of a conversation, which is why I'm here.
Okay.
And that's really all I wanted to do. It's I heard when we did the petition to discharge, and we had this all the discussion the last go round. There were people talking about the intent of petition to discharge. If something gets voted on and it gets voted down, it can't come back to the floor. So the reality is, if somebody is sponsoring something and they take the shot to go for a petition to discharge, looking for a vote, And if it gets voted down, it can't come back to the floor. My thinking on this, which is why I put it in here, was, okay, then at least, you know, I'm willing to say, put it through twice, and so that at least if there are issues, it's getting clarified, and that the sponsors are going back to the people who had concerns to say, is there a compromise? Is there a way to get us on the same page? That's what I thought the process was about and what I was hoping to bring clarity for.
Okay.
Just a very quick point of clarification. If something is defeated on the floor, it can come back at the next meeting by somebody who voted
with the
winning side. So you can make it's a motion to reconsider. I don't have to be somebody who voted with the majority on that particular vote.
So somebody will switch their vote.
Somebody voted no, and they then decided
it. Well, somebody will already switch their vote. They do it on Congress.
I
got to go because Barbara's waiting for me. You know, something I've noticed for the last couple of years, sometimes somebody wants to move something for the floor. There are people that have reservations about it, and it gets done when there's maybe not everybody there. Mm-hmm. A no vote doesn't mean we're against it. Sometimes it should mean we don't want it to go to the floor yet. That there's more time should be held for discussion. But yet, I've seen it over and over again. Somebody will push something through, and it'll be a no vote. There should be something in between a no, we don't like this, and it's dead, and now we'll get a petition of discharge. And no, we don't think it's quite ready to go to the floor yet.
Well, my final comments are going to be, one, I don't believe any legislator should be forced to vote yes or no on any issue. They can vote for a referral of committee. If it fails, then they have the decision to vote yes or no. If the majority of legislators want to vote it back to committee or table it, that should be their right. It should be no rule to tell legislators how they have to vote in the process on the floor of the legislature. My second comment is, legislators can get up and walk to the bathroom or go get a cup of coffee anytime during the vote anyway and not have to vote on it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, boy, you care. How many times you see important legislators, important votes, people, Jeanette knows some of them that have been here not anymore.
I never did it.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about you, but legislators get up and go to the bathroom or they get up and go get a cup of coffee or they're out in the hall talking. So, you can't force people to vote the way they don't want to vote. And the final thing is, if we're going to do it, if people really believe a petition of discharge, which doesn't even pass committee, should have an up or down vote, how about every resolution that passes committee have a yes or no vote? Let's care about every resolution, not just some that fail in committee that have no support in committee. So let's not pick the losing resolutions that have that have to vote yes or no. Let's eliminate vote. Refer back to committee. I mean, if you really believe that strongly, you should feel that strongly about every resolution that comes to the floor. Because you know what will happen? 99% of the legislators are going to say, that's crazy. We allowed to vote refer to committee for a reason, to make the resolution better, stronger. Just because somebody goes and gets 8 signatures does not mean that the resolution can't come back 6 times to be made better or stronger or more input. It's almost like the minority. And in this case, it's clearly the minority because it's a resolution that failed a committee, is trying to subvert and tell the majority how they have to vote and that you can't vote to refer 3 times. You can't vote to table. That's what is happening with this resolution. The minority is trying to control the process and force people what to do. And I'm not saying... It's just, to me, it's a bad... It's a reaction to a resolution that, Tracy, with all due respect, you aren't happy about the outcome. You have very good arguments on why that policy should be approved. And I happen to agree with a lot of it. But at the end of the day, if legislators want to vote against it or vote to refer it to committee, no piece of legislation should force them to vote yes or no. It's reacting to things. It's not good policy. It's policy that's being created for 1 or 2 resolutions that have happened. It makes no sense, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I don't know if Dave is still on that.
You there, Dave?
Vote.
Yes, I am here, and okay. I would like to comment if you don't mind.
All right, let's chase you going in you.
Because it's speaking, actually, Dave, you're going to be able, it'll be nice to have you come in after me. Because I think that one thing is that these rules and this petition to discharge is very, very, very new in this legislature. It's all in our very short-term memory in terms of the creation of it in this committee. And this, just speaking to the first change in this amendment, which is legislator, you know, Archer's amendment, but it comes off of a sort of a broader discussion about the spirit of that rule. And while we have differing opinions about what that spirit meant, I mean, having been involved in those discussions, I didn't sit on the committee, but I was here and I brought suggestions and notes, and I was a part of it. And my recollection of the back and forth, because Dave was coming very much rich from your perspective of, like, everything, it should just be able to go to the floor. And so that compromise came largely out of the spirit of the concept that it was going to have a chance, something that failed would have a chance to get to the floor for a vote, because we also recognized at that time, with legislator Lauren in this room, that there was a push not to have any end date, and that's something that keeps coming up. And I know that's partially what legislator John Parody, your chairman Parody, is trying to address. Although I'm not sure with the next one, but the concept that there's no end date in terms of how long something can sit in the committee. There used to be an idea that it could come out after a certain time. Our rules no longer. Our rules don't have that anymore. People keep bringing it up, but it doesn't exist.
Well, the 90 days rule was the ridiculous predecessor to the petition to discharge.
And then we talked about 180 days. We bopped all over the place, and Dave, I think, will acknowledge that his idea of the spirit was that with this petition that it would come up to an up or down vote. I hear your point, and that's something that we could all have for debate. Just for me, one person, I think Ken, you know, brings up a good point, Ken Ronk, that maybe two times, maybe there is a certain number where it's not just one time, but you do want to avoid a loop or something can just,
What about resolutions that pass committee? Shouldn't they get an up and down vote? Or is it just some resolutions?
No, I think that's another.
So let's think about it. I mean, first of all, I don't think any resolution should be required an up and down vote. And you know what? If you really want to do our homework, let's find one other government organization, a government entity that requires people to vote yes or no, and not be allowed to refer something back to committee or to table something.
Do you have an answer to that?
Do you have an answer to that?
I have a comment to that point.
I'm willing to bet you're going to find none. I'm willing to bet.
That doesn't mean it's not right. I'll give you the example, if I could, of the New York State Assembly, where the speaker speaker has ultimate control over what comes to the floor. There are bills that sit in the assembly with 101, 102 co-sponsors in a 150 member body that will never get voted on.
Congress the same way.
But that's not what we're doing.
They can still go to the floor of the Senate and Assembly and be referred to committee. And be referred to the committee.
Yeah, they just killed them.
So what? If that's the will of the body, that's the will of the body.
I think someone should be able to be killed in committee. And I think that we haven't, I think something should be killed in committee. Something should be able to be killed in committee. And if you go back and look at the minutes of all those meetings that we had, I'd be willing to bet you that I've said that a couple of times. But the petition to discharge is a mechanism to protect the minority from the majority killing everything that they bring forward in committee. Now, we haven't used it that way. It's very difficult when Ken Ronk says, Tracy, I'd really like to see this go to the floor. Could you please sign? Even if she doesn't agree with it, she might sign it to send it to the floor. We haven't used it as, I'm going to vote against that, so no, I'm not going to sign your petition to discharge. And again, it takes a strong will when somebody, because a lot of us have developed personal relationships with one another. It's hard when you have somebody shoving something in front of you, please sign this for me. It's really hard to say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Do I get to talk? Dave, you're up.
Go nuts.
All right. Now, one, if I don't agree with it, I'm not going to sign the petition to discharge, but that's it. The other point is that The way this is set up, I have a problem with it because, one, like Rich pointed out, what about anything that passes a committee? If it passes a committee, then should you have to vote yes or no? Well, sometimes it should go back to committee. But I think Chairman Farrity has something in his rules that are going to also address that. So I think what we have to do is actually look at the two sets of rules. Now, I also do not have a problem with the second piece of this saying about it gets on the agenda. I don't really have a problem with that if it goes through the right channels. I don't have a problem. I do have a serious problem with the last part of it, because that weakens the chairman's position. The idea that, you can't appoint anybody to more than one, being the chairman of more than one committee. So there's like three different things in this one rule change. And there is also another piece that Chairman Farrity is putting in. So I really think we should be, instead, taking a look at the two of them, have a meeting, especially on rules, postpone these things right now, and let's take a look at it. Just dealing with rules.
Okay, Legislator Archer. Then we're going to wind this up.
Yeah, I hear what you're all saying. The whole point of this, as I said earlier, was really to get it out here and talk about. As it relates to the last one, here's my thinking. Just so, and Ken, we've had that conversation. But it the whole idea is a couple of things: creating transparency, getting things to the floor, giving minority groups an opportunity to ensure their issues, and as it relates to the chair, if we're all doing our jobs right as chairs of committees, it's a lot of work for part-time legislators. And to give people multiple chairmanships means that some of the work isn't always getting done.
But that's your opinion.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that feel that.
Then elections have consequences. Elections matter. That's the will of the people. The will of the people. I mean, it's like, it feels like that, to me, reading this resolution, it feels like you're not addressing resolutions. You don't care about resolutions that pass committee and don't get an up and down vote on the legislature. Mm-hmm. Those aren't important. Okay, according to this resolution, you don't care if they get referred to committee and sit in committee and sit there forever. Only resolutions that fail committee seem to be important enough to have an up and down vote.
Let me finish.
I have the floor. That's what this resolution says. It's not. It's clear that's what it says.
No, it
does say
that's
that.
That's unfair, Rich.
Well, in my opinion,
that's
it says
your
that.
Opinion.
You're saying
exactly.
This resolution is saying
opinion.
the chairperson. Shouldn't have the ability to appoint two people to chair a committee. Now, what happens if people refuse to be chairs of committees? Then what happens? They still can't chair two people? So that's not addressed in here. What if there's 12 people in the majority party and 11 of them, 10 of them refuse to chair a committee? Then what is your solution then? It's not addressed in this resolution. That's what I'm saying. To me, this resolution.
Minorities were appointed, so that's exactly what happened.
Okay,
so
or somebody.
But it is addressed.
If I could, please.
Let's say, and then we're going to move on.
I am against
2 hour time limit.
I'm against the last change. I've thought about it a lot. We've never had an issue before where the chairman has appointed one person to chair more than one committee. The reason it happened this time was because somebody turned down a committee chairmanship, and the committee then selected someone to be the chair of the committee who was already the chair of a separate committee. That's the way it went down the first time, and then the chair recognized that the legislator was doing a good job, maybe had a lot of time on his hands, being a retired person. He was doing a good job in both chairmanships and decided to reappoint him the second year. But I've never seen it happen in the first year, and it didn't happen this time either, where the chairman appointed more than one
of one person to more than one committee chairmanship. So I don't see it as something we need to write into the rules. If we see that sort of thing abused in the future, it's something I'd be open to. But again, I've been in the legislature 8 years now. I've never seen that happen. And as it relates to deputy chairs, I think that you get into a dangerous position there where you might only have one, you know, somebody who's already a deputy chair on a different committee, and I serve as two deputy chairs on committees. I'm the deputy chair of environment and the deputy chair of law enforcement. Sometimes you might run into a scenario where the person who's already a deputy chair is the only person who could be a deputy chair on a different committee. Or you run into a position where you're required to appoint somebody who's less experienced as deputy chairman on a committee because of this rule. And I personally have always believed, I still believe, and we could change the rules to make it so, that the chair of the committee should pick their deputy.
That used to be the rules.
Well, may I say something on that also? Besides that, you know what? The chairman of committees are not given a stipend of any sort. If they were, then I would say this could be an issue. But it's not an issue. You're not, you know, it's not like you're getting an extra $1,000 or $2,000 to chair the committee. It's just more work.
Okay. All right. There's a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
I would, at this point, you know, I think that there's changes that could be made.
My recommendation for me to support any of these changes, one, it would be one legislator can bring a resolution to the floor. Let's get rid of the petition of discharge altogether. Why should, if seven people believe strongly about something, why shouldn't they get a vote on something? Why does it have to be eight? So let's
just... Would you have them go to committee first? I'm confused.
Go to committee. Well, no, I mean, years past, as long as it was in 8 days before, it didn't have to go to committee.
It's not eight. The number actually, it was always entertaining to me. It is 75% of the number of the minority caucus. That was a legislator, Lauren James.
So it's seven now? Eight now?
It's eight now.
All right.
It was nine in the last term.
Okay. So I will support this if we up and down vote has to be on every resolution that passes committee and fails committee. Why we shouldn't be singling out only losing resolutions. If you really care about an up and down vote, make it on every one. And my other one is one vote. If you do that, then I'll support it. Otherwise, it's reacting to something.
The time you're talking about, definitely the two of you were there. It used to be that I could submit a resolution
by resolution deadline, which was that
right. And it went to committee, and even if it failed committee, it went to the floor.
All you had to do was put it in a resolution before the deadline, and you were voting
for it. But it went to committee.
The deadline was after committee.
And if it failed committee, as long as you made the resolution deadline. Yes, it did.
No, it did not.
It's always assigned to committee.
No, that's not true.
I think it was assigned to
committee. I think so. I think
Rich,
I went to committee.
Rich,
you also
needed a co-sponsor.
But, you're right. Despite what you're saying, it shouldn't be, if I created a resolution and there are six members on a committee, some committees only have five.
Sure.
And three of them vote no for whatever reason. Why should those three control what 20 some
other
people?
They don't. That's where you're getting it wrong. Let me finish. You do a petition of discharge. In this current legislature, you need eight signatures. It goes to the floor. No problem. What this resolution does is say the body's got to vote yes or no. It's not. This resolution has nothing to do with getting something to the floor of the legislature. Nothing to do with it. That policy. But that policy is already in place. This isn't changing it. This is changing that the legislature has to vote yes or no. That's all it's changing.
It's clarifying the term vote, which was up for discussion.
But that's not what Jeanette said. Jeanette said if a resolution fails 3-3, shouldn't it have a right to go to the floor? The resolution doesn't address that. That policy is in place. It's not changing that policy. This resolution is not changing anything except it's trying to tell the legislature You can't refer it to committee. You can't table it. You have to vote yes or no. That's all this resolution is doing. So my suggestion is make a yes or no vote on every resolution, not just once the fail committee. Make it on every resolution. And let's just make it that one legislator with a second, I agree with Legislator Roberts, you should have a second. Whoever, you get two legislators that want to submit a resolution, submit it. You don't need a petition. If you really, truly believe every legislator should have a say, then submit that change and submit that every resolution has to have a yes or no. And if you don't support that, don't come back and say only failing resolutions should get a yes or no vote. It's either every resolution or it's no resolution.
I hear what you're saying.
Let's be consistent.
It was clarification of the term vote, which was up for discussion. So you understand, I don't want you to think I was intentionally omitting.
No, but you know what? You know what, Legislator Archer, if you would have called me, like Rich Giarantini or my father, then you know what? I would have told you the same exact thing on the phone, and you might have said, you know what? Let me wait till March, and I'll talk to you, and we could do those.
Well,
we could
but that's
do that.
What I brought it. I thought resolutions come to the table for these kinds of discussions.
That's what I do.
When I bring a resolution to the table, like I did with naming county assets, I gave everybody copies 2 months before I submitted a resolution and said, "Look over this and then please give me any suggestions you have."
When I finished it, it was sent to every single legislator.
It was submitted before I saw a copy. It was submitted before I saw a copy. It was submitted. I never got a copy until it was submitted in a minute. And I don't submit resolutions until I reach out to the chair ahead.
I sent it out to everybody.
How long ago?
The day before it was due in.
So the day before. All I'm saying, listen. That's your right to do. This the law, the amended version we passed tonight of the ethics, I've handed that out for 3 months. Tonight's not the first time people are seeing it, or 7 days ago, or 8 days ago. I handed it out 2 or 3 months ago and said, I'm going to bring this to committee. I don't put resolutions in the night or 7 days before and nobody ever sees it. I call the chair, I email the chair and say, I would like to submit this in your committee next month, in 2 months. Do you have any suggestions? That's how I do it. You don't have to do it, but then don't get upset if that's how I do it. And I would have given you my ideas tonight and my thoughts, and you might have said, you know what, let me talk to Tracy and Jeanette. Some of them make sense. I don't like some of them. Whatever. And then we come up maybe something that's just my opinion.
I wasn't expecting it to be voted on. So that's the point of this.
But that's
so
the idea of resolutions. Then it should have come under new business.
The chairman's is the same way.
He actually thought I was going to pull his.
But the point is, he talked to me.
Listen, you can do what you want. What is new business for? What is new business for? Tell me what new business is for.
And bomb trains.
To me, new business is about resolutions we're going to be developing in the future. That's new business.
I'm not here at every meeting now. So, I knew I was a member of the committee. Yeah, absolutely.
That's not true.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to amend where it says...
Which one are we on? 37?
36.
Oh, okay.
After the section C there, thereafter, if legislators shall sign a petition of discharge as described above, the resolution shall be referred to the next full meeting of the county legislature for action, period. If the resolution is referred to committee, defeated, and subsequently a second petition to discharge is fully executed, the resolution discharged may be adopted or defeated, provided blah, blah, blah.
So you made a motion.
That's a motion to amend that. Hold on, I'm not done yet, though. It's going to be a long motion.
Help me out here.
Yes. Everybody got that, or you want me to read it again?
You know what?
Two chances. Yeah.
Why don't we do it so we can write it out, see it,
I'd be fine with that. I mean, the only thing is with rules changes, you got a first reading and a second reading. So, once this goes to the floor, it's essentially going to be written out and seen. So, But if you'd like to do it a different way, I've got no skin in the game. I've got changes that I think that should be made. That's all.
Legislator Archer said she didn't think it was going to get voted on tonight.
But
now you're amending.
I'm happy for the amendment.
We could amend it and then
Well, let's amend it. Let's amend it that any one legislator can submit a resolution to the floor, and let's amend it that every vote, whether it passes committee or doesn't pass, has to get an up or down vote.
I don't agree with that.
Second amendment?
No, I'm
against this tonight.
Are you making that amendment?
No.
We're asking somebody.
He's making an amendment.
I'm making an amendment.
He's making an amendment. I said.
But my question is, you're saying that we should do that. Somebody should do that.
He's making an amendment now.
Before we fight about the amendment, can I finish?
Ben's got the floor. Let him go.
Throw it out there. The second one is good. My second amendment is going to be to strike the bold face where it says no legislator shall be appointed as blah 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 blah. At the end.
So you okay. Need the last.
There's a motion.
There's a motion.
You're saying strike all of C.
Strike.
Not the bold. Just
no.
All of C.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask, is there a second?
If you would break it up into two separate amendments, I would second the first.
No, you made an amendment. Is there a second? You made an amendment.
To strike the bold face.
Right. Is there a second?
That's the change.
All of these are reading on the week, so are you trying to the whole last?
No.
Okay. Can we agree? Is there a second?
All of them are
saying. It's the same. That's the same.
There's no second.
Can I just ask a clarification on what you're saying? Sorry.
This is kind of committee business. You can, if Nana Jo seconds it, then we can discuss it. If she's not going to second it.
I'll second for the purpose of discussion.
Okay.
Do you really need to reiterate what's already in? Ken, you're saying to...
Okay.
Right?
One at a time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'd be fine with striking the whole thing.
Yeah, but you can't. There's a motion and a second. What did you put down?
May I say something?
Please.
Do you mind if I say something?
No, you can speak.
Alrighty, well, I really think at this point right now you should postpone both of those rule changes. If I look at your agenda, you've got a lot of other things that need to be done, and you ought to get them done. You know, the point is, the rule changes, they don't come very easy. Because there's always going to be some differences of opinion. And so, my take on it is, we need to deal with them individually, like I said before, as opposed to right now, when you've got a whole bunch of other things, and my phone is ready to die out after 2 hours.
Oh, gee. That's disappointing for the rest of
us. Okay. Okay. Dave, thanks. We have a motion and a second on Ken's amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Failed 2-2.
Did you vote?
I have to vote no because I don't want to see the second part.
So it failed 1-3.
1-3. Okay, so we're going to move on. Are you going to? We're going to vote on a regular amendment now. We should.
But what happens? Can I just ask what happens now with this?
Postpone it.
We voted on the amendment.
Okay.
So now the regular resolution.
Well, you break it up there.
So all in favor of the regular resolution as written?
I'm disappointed.
Opposed?
If I could, I'm disappointed because I would not be able to vote yes on it as it's written because I don't agree with everything in it.
Okay. Who's yes?
I think you ought to postpone it.
Dave, there's a motion and a second. We're voting. All in favor?
I'm asking for clarification.
There's a motion and a second.
The clarification is that...
By the way, guys, if you guys all vote... Discharge.
Petition is discharge.
But the amendment just passed.
No, the amendment failed.
It did not.
The amendment failed.
So now it's as written.
It's as written. Okay,
That's okay.
I'm exquisitely unsuited for this committee. I'm trying very hard to understand this stuff. But. Okay.
So there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Motion in favor of, yes.
Okay. Opposed? Failed. 1-2.
I'm sorry. I missed the vote.
On the resolution. 1-3.
Who voted?
Nana voted yes. and three. Tracy.
No.
This is it, then. We're going to just talk with the committee for a while. We've got to get moving.
I'm going to ask a question, because you talked, at some point you talked about, in relation to the chairman's proposal and legislator Archer's proposal and bigger issues in the rules, are you going to, and Dave had said about a special meeting for looking at the rules, are you going to call, like, are you going to
hold that right after the one on building?
It took us 2 years.
People, I'm going to make my recommendations to this resolution and my father's, and then I'm going to give it to the committee and the legislators. If you have any recommendations, we can sit down.
But I mean, is this
committee, I'm about to have a special meeting.
Not on these resolutions. I'm saying, is this committee going to look at the rules?
We actually discussed it yesterday.
There's a ton of changes.
About changes. That's
little
why it would be.
Ones,
I don't even know if we need a ton of changes, but there needs to be some changes.
There's a bunch. I mean, even talking to the clerk, there's a bunch that, you know, like little things that tweak. Again, little tweaks that in the actual process of working through rules, you realize, well, that would just make, I mean, I think a lot of them would be uncontroversial.
Okay. All right, we're going to skip 37. We're going to resolution 39.
The chairman hasn't technically just,
Okay.
So let's move to it for a minute, if you could. And if you want to do a motion to postpone or, you know, whatnot, I...
Motion to postpone. Actually, we don't... If there's no motion or no second, then we don't move it. We don't take action.
Enough.
Is there a motion on 37? Why are you taking it?
Why not? You don't want to discuss it?
We just discussed the other one. Let's get to the other business. We can do this one another time. I mean, it's getting crazy now.
So there's not going to be a second. So I move it. Nobody seconds it. We move on. It's fine. I'm here to... It doesn't move on. I'm here to work until...
Okay, let's go to 39. Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 1, authorizing the sale and use of sparkling devices to be held Tuesday, March 17th.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Jeanette, good idea?
Yeah, excellent.
Excellent.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 40, adopting a proposed local law, number 15, 2014, a local law establishing a construction apprenticeship for agreements for certain bridge contracts and etc. I'll move it. Hope legislator Roberts.
I don't have that.
I'll second. It's on the back, guys.
No.
Oh. I don't have it.
I don't have it either.
Sorry, I checked
with
yesterday. I apologize.
I thought
we had the public hearing already. We had
the
public
hearing. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm just saying it's not there.
Okay.
Okay. So, we're doing yours next year. Sorry. Who's in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I voted against this in Public Works, and I'm going to vote against it tonight.
Okay.
I think it's more government regulations that we don't need, and it makes zero sense in the scheme of life.
Okay. So it passed 3-1. Resolution 41, adopting proposed local law 17, a local law amending local law number 908. The Dave's done. His battery died. Smoking upon all real property owned or leased by the county.
I'll move for discussion.
I'll second it.
Oh, by the way, our committee, is sponsoring it also. There was just a law passed in California, which everything always starts.
So does the fuel, the fuel cars with the propane.
Really?
That we'll be voting on next month, this month, so everybody knows.
No, they had done a study that showed the nicotine from e-cigarettes is as dangerous as cigarettes. So there was a law already passed for that.
Well, I hope this passes.
I hope. Like I said, there was a complaint from an employee.
But I've shared this with Legislator Provenzano on a number of occasions. I believe that the proper way to do this one, this banning e-cigarettes, especially in response to the complaint from the employee, is that we should add it to the county's clean indoor air policy, which would mean that you could not smoke the e-cigarettes indoors. I don't think that smoking an e-cigarette in the parking lot at the community college is the same thing as smoking a cigarette. Not to mention the fact, I think it's not.
It is.
The nicotine is as bad. I agree with that.
I agree that the nicotine in an e-cigarette is like the nicotine in a cigarette, but it's not like lighting a cigarette on fire and breathing it in.
It's being treated the same as smoking a regular cigarette.
So let's.
There's also not the harmful side effects of secondhand smoke personally in an outdoor setting. But regardless,
that's
okay. I get a vote, but if I could just finish my thought.
Okay.
I believe that some people are smoking e-cigarettes to not smoke regular cigarettes and to push the people who are smoking regular cigarettes. I'm sorry, the people who are smoking e-cigarettes out to where the people are smoking regular cigarettes, whether it's just as bad or not, could turn them back to regular cigarettes. Now, while that might benefit us in the county's sales tax and the state's cigarette tax, I don't think that it's the right thing to do. So.
Okay, call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
I don't have a resolution in front of me.
It's right here. We discussed it.
We passed this like
it's been gone through every committee. All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, so carried 3-1.
And this is not a new resolution.
What's the last one, Manager, on there?
I'm sorry. This is past committee.
You've got a manager.
I'd love to.
3-1. 3-1.
Yeah,
Ken voted.
Man hasn't voted.
I haven't voted. Voted.
Oh, you didn't
yeah.
vote?
Yeah.
So well, far, I voted
can
no.
Can I? Can
ago.
I? Can I? Read
no, no.
Three?
No. Let
yes,
the committee.
Please, if you want. Okay. She wants me to repeat. So yeah. Ken kind of threw something in there. There was a complaint from an employee that works for the county that there was an individual smoking an electronic cigarette at their desk. And she was offended by it. That's what started this.
Okay.
In the meantime, I have done a lot of research. I sent every one of you at least two or three things a month about the dangers of electronic cigarettes.
Jeanette, we appreciate that there's a motion in a second. The committee's just, I know.
Was she here?
But she's got to vote yes or no.
All right. Well, she had all the information. I sent everybody.
But it's still, at the end of the day, it's her vote. It's her vote.
But the main thing is that they have to.
It's the same as smoking regular cigarette in terms of policy on county property.
It's the same policy.
It's location, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Community college is all under leased properties, which would include Golden Hill Lane, the college, and the
law enforcement center. It's the same as the law we have on smoking.
It's the same thing. E-cigarettes are just included.
Anybody at the law enforcement center is going to walk out the third.
Let Legislator Green think about it. Legislator Green, if you're uncomfortable, we can wait a month. If you're uncomfortable, or Jeanette Legislator Provenzano could do a petition to discharge. It's right now 2-1. So you decide whatever you want to decide.
By the way, you can't.
Let her speak. Stop. Let's say it wrong. Let's say it wrong. Come on, stop talking if you're not acknowledged.
Ken, what you got? You know, you never stop. You're like an energizer.
Too many people talk. Listen, from now on, I'm going to run a meeting where nobody's going to talk. Because I try to be pretty fair.
Then I'll resign from the committee.
What you have been?
You can resign from the committee. I try to let everybody speak, but you know what? A lot of committees don't let people speak until after the committee's meeting over, except for the members of the committee. And I don't want to do that. But you're doing it too right now. And I.
Can I take the resolution?
You see, Nana, I'm not going to allow any speaking except members of the committee from now on until after the meeting's over, because it's getting out of control.
And do you want me to try to go copy 94?
Can we go to the last one?
Yes, please. Just give me a minute on this. You can go ahead.
94 is setting a public hearing on proposal of law 2 for the jail inmates dental.
Second?
Yeah, second. Public hearing.
All in favor of setting a public hearing?
Yeah, aye.
Opposed?
It's just a public hearing.
I voted on it without reading it.
It's pretty simple.
Well, as Nancy Pelosi said, you know, once we pass it, then we can know what's in it.
I'm sorry, my resolution passed.
We're waiting for Man and Jeff.
Discharge.
I must have sent you at least 10 different.
I'm just trying to understand
you guys. out of control.
I'd like to talk about
some new business resolution.
Bringing what resolution?
I think it's out of
only okay. Losing resolutions going to come down vote.
I'm going to approve it.
Not every resolution.
Rich is thinking.
Okay. So
are you serious about not letting anybody talk?
If it continues,
we need to stop.
Listen, you're not. I have. We're in a meeting, and you're not recognized. So wait till Legislator Green finishes. I want her.
So you voted yes? Okay. For the record, Manageo voted yes.
Okay, so we're good. Thank you, Manageo. You want to go tell Jeanette? We'll call her.
Ken will.
All right, motion to adjourn the meeting.
We have one more?
For a second, Rich.
New business.
This will take like...
Honest to God, Kevin, it's 9:30.
This will take like 20 seconds, and you guys can just think about it. A couple of years ago, I put a resolution in about the gas tax. It was ruled out of order by B.
I think that might have been Josh Koplowitz.
Stop. Legislator Rock, please don't speak unless you're addressed. This is why the meetings are going too crazy.
You know what? No. No.
No, you don't have the floor. Stop. Legislator Roberts was speaking. I don't want anybody else to speak while he's being acknowledged. Legislator Roberts.
Anyway, I'd like to put a resolution in the next month or two.
You know what, Rich? You speak whenever you please as the chairman of the committee, and I've had enough of you having double standards for everybody.
You're the chairman now, but
he doesn't get that.
Cap and gas tax at maybe $3 a gallon, $3.50 for diesel and super unleaded and stuff like that. This way it won't, it'll be capped at like last year's numbers.
Can you get the numbers?
What do you mean?
Like the, what, is there high, is there like, is it 3%, 10%?
I think it's 4% on a gallon.
But when you're saying when it gets to $5, then
no, I want to cap
$2.
$3.
I know, but it hits a certain number, the 4% ceases.
Yes, for the county.
Do you want
to? I'll try to work on something.
Yeah, get some backup information. Yeah.
It's also something too that has to be put together by the county and brought and get the city of Kingston's permission. And I doubt that will happen. So, but at least something we could discuss and get it out in the public and let them know that we're working to try to save them a few dollars a year. That's it on my new business.
Okay. Would you say agree on anything? New business?
I have no new business.
Old business?
Let's go.
Okay, all in favor of adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Would you say
what happened to the other resolution?
Which one?
The one with Peter Lawrence, the smoking resolution was on your agenda? Reimbursing.
We just passed it.
You just passed that.
What, reimbursing the cost of medical and dental?
I thought that was Paul Navarro from
State. Oh, okay. But it's not a Peter Lawrence that's sponsored.
Oh, probably because he was chairman of the.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Hang on, we just shut that tape off.